welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Well, let's see. Where do we start? First off, news girl Tracy Metro in, I believe, Teresa Strasser starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
She will die in her stool.
That would
and
be cool.
I will die in a bath of my stool, but she will die on her stool.
Well,
that,
what if
that would get
if,
good ratings?
What if Star Jones, though, you know, she does quit The View? I think we should go after her. That
good,
would
good,
be awesome.
Good
explosive
impulse.
Every day.
Smart.
To say the least explosive.
Tracy, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me back.
Helping us out. The story is Teresa is the new news girl, but she had other things on her calendar by the time we got done with our hand-wringing and hired her. She had a couple more obligations to take care of, which I respect, but I'm still annoyed by. Anyway, we're glad to see Tracy again, who we decided was crazy, but not as crazy as I initially thought she was.
Oh, you know, I was wondering, did I get the crazy or the sane factor? But now I know.
You're saner than I originally anticipated.
You know, it's the curly hair. It gets them every time.
Well, you have a little crazy trait, though. I don't know if it's crazy. It's an interesting fashion choice. You're one of these people who always wears a certain color. There are certain people, and you always have orange on.
Wait, can I tell
True?
You this morning? Yeah, kind of. But I got to tell you something. This morning when I got dressed, I thought, I am not wearing orange today because I thought you guys were going to bust me on it.
Yeah.
And I am now busted.
I wouldn't have said anything. But I just wear the same thing every day. No, it's true. My wife used to work with somebody who always wore purple. And then she started.
At the man show, we worked with somebody who every day wore pink.
Yeah, and you just start getting called Susie Purple, and the next thing you know, your life revolves around purple, and people, when they buy you gifts, they just buy you a purple sweatshirt, a purple notepad. It doesn't matter as long as it's purple. The purple part is the gift. It's not what's purple, which is a great cop-out when you're buying a gift. Hey, I got you a purple coffee mug. Wow, that's $2. We've been married for going on 22 years now.
But you love purple.
Yes, you love purple. This is purple.
It's perfect. That's purple, and you love purple. Got it?
I've said many times the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family is to either make a declaration about a color. Oh, she loves purple or she loves orange. You know, your husband, every anniversary, every birthday, just as long as it's orange, he could physically buy you an orange.
You'd
be fine with that. One orange.
You're so dead on. That's what's so freaky.
And then other people do it in the form of animals. She loves hippos. She loves all hippos. Well, I'll tell you one. She thinks she has everything hippo. She doesn't have the hippo crazy straw. I got her the hippo crazy straw. $1.29 over at the Smart and Final over there. But
yeah.
Still, there's a hippo on it. Now, Dave has had the quiet dignity to pick a team.
Yes.
Pittsburgh Steelers. So, when somebody has a team, a color, or an animal, or then the broader one, which is booze, you're fine. See, you can always get someone a nice bottle of booze. Now, I'm talking about going out and getting gifts. Now, once in a while, you meet the guy who's on the wagon, who has no color, has no animal, and has no team, and then you're effed.
Yeah.
Right. These are the people you work with who gave up the booze, and then people have to admonish you, too. Hey, man, Kurt had a pretty good problem with the bottle about 4 years ago, and he's been dry. You give him the Chivas Regal, I think it's a pretty poor taste. Well, let him re-gift it. I don't think it's a good idea. You know, that guy? Well, what do you want me to do? Is he registered somewhere?
You know, those of us that have hooks have things. Pittsburgh Steelers, isn't that the name of the team?
Oh,
well done.
Wow.
Thank you very much. You know, I try. All I'm saying is we're a public service. We're allowing people to not have to think about gift giving. It's easy.
In my utopia society, if you do not have one of these, I will assign you one by the government.
Exactly.
I'll size you up. I'll look at Brian. Brian, do you booze? No? You know, don't drink anymore. Oh, the vehicular manslaughter, I remember. Okay, no animal, no team.
Kitties.
I'm going to give you kittens. Kittens, or you can trade that in for magenta.
I'm allergic to cats, so magenta it is.
Okay, there's your color.
Or
all things magenta.
He could just go with the whole bald thing.
Yeah,
but
what are you going to do? Get him scalp wax?
Damn, I'm on the jerk report next week.
Tracy, what gifts do you get the bald guy beside a toupee or scalp wax?
Oh, my gosh, you could get him a bowling ball.
Okay, now, you're back to crazy now, by the way, Orange Lady. Keep her away from me. She's scaring me.
I like the idea. I'm conflicted. Because if you choose a color that you wear every day, it becomes your uniform.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're a sports team.
Right.
Every day you wear your color.
Or you can go, as I'm reminded as I look down at my self wearing a denim shirt, or mm-hmm. you can have that look like Jay Leno. If he's not wearing a suit, he's wearing a denim shirt.
Yeah.
It just is.
I've seen him around town every time you see him in jeans and a denim shirt. You're right.
Exactly. Bill Cosby with those crazy, wacky sweaters.
At least they're made out of different materials. They're different colors. He exclusively just has this. A certain way, not bad. It's your uniform. People stop complaining. There's a certain thing where you have to ride it out. You can wear a denim shirt every day for about 4 months, and people are going to complain. At a certain point, they'll start complaining if they don't see you in the denim shirt. That's how it works.
Imagine, like, I think it's also sort of important what color you get.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Cash. You can't beat that. Imagine if you decided on that back in like 1962 and forevermore you own black everywhere you go. But then if you decide one day, you know what? I feel like powder blue today. You go out the door, you're going to get abused for it.
You get busted, actually.
It's amazing Johnny never got a deal with a dandruff shampoo manufacturer. That would have been the greatest coup of all time. Oh, I'm Johnny Cash. You know, flaky, you know, the heartbreak of psoriasis. He starts talking, you know, Head and Shoulders or something gets with Johnny. I always like, what can't we talk about? I like the dandruff shampoo commercials because young hot people have dandruff and their young hot partners are turned off. Like that used to happen to me when I was in my early 20s. I'd take a supermodel out and it'd be like, wow, she is some kind of beautiful. This is going to be great, sweet love. And then she'd get up and leave to use the powder room. I'd see some flakes on her black sweater.
You turned off.
Deal breaker.
Right? Exactly.
Sorry,
you didn't want to
sweetie.
Get any.
Maybe I'll accept a little oral through a hole in the sheet, but that's as far as we're going. Yeah.
Apparently now you're Hasidic.
Yeah. They have to do that with adult diaper commercials and stuff. They have to have relatively young, relatively attractive young people because you can't advertise anything. I mean, if you advertise caskets, you have to put a model in the casket.
Right.
You can't. So the diaper is being worn by a pretty good-looking 42-year-old chick. Like, wow. On one hand, I'm glad you don't have grandpa filling this diaper. On the other hand, is this what I have to look forward to?
The model. I remember even in watching Saturday morning cartoons, commercials about honeycomb cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always older and cooler than I was.
Yeah.
The honeycomb gang living in the treehouse. I was like, man, those guys are cool. Too cool. They wouldn't let me in the tree club.
How fast would that honeycomb gang be raped on the internet these days? I see those specials almost every
honeycomb,
night.
Honeycomb, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was going to sing and I thought, oh, too obscure.
All right. Oh, no. We could probably do the song. Do you think we could all do the song?
Hell yeah.
Are you ready?
You lead us because I forget how it opens.
Honeycomb's big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not small.
No, no, no.
Honeycomb's got
I think it's big bite.
Yes, it is. Okay, well, let's try that again.
This is an embarrassment.
Wait, this is amazing. I really remember all those words.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
Honeycomb's got
a big, big taste.
Bite.
No. Bite.
Bite.
Damn.
Bite first.
Don't
yell at people, brother.
Honeycomb's got
big, big bite.
Thank you.
Big, big taste in a
big, big bite.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes.
I'm too scared.
Someone's got to go online. But I think it's going, honeycomb's big.
Yeah.
It's not small.
No.
Honeycomb's got
a big, big, big bite.
Big, big taste with a big, big, big bite. Yeah, everyone comes in there. Yeah. All right.
Honeycomb
anyway,
gang.
That was fascinating.
That's
sure.
It.
For everybody at
they're
home.
All, yes, they're
too
all
too cool. They wouldn't let me in their club. Who's laughing now?
Yeah, they're all.
None of our listeners. That's for sure.
All right. So, what's on the show today? Well, we got Johnny Lechner. Johnny Lechner is a 12-year college student who wants to go for 13 years. Deaf frat guy, ironically, on the show today. Probably going to want to talk to him. The Fret Guy's coming in. Also, a big show last night at the Improv. Christian, our 13-year-old comedian.
Let me tell you something. I had pretty low expectations. Mm-hmm. I expected just rudimentary sort of mistakes. I don't remember anything. I thought the 13-year-old boy, overwhelmed by the situation, mm-hmm. destroyed.
The crowd went
wild, and it wasn't gratuitous applause. It wasn't, you know, anything like that. He did great. People mm-hmm. went wild. His standing ovation.
Really?
That's right.
The thing about stand-up is, you know, I'm trying to think of the things you're bad at. Your first time, you know, driving a car, you'll hit a few cones or something. Certainly sex, you're pretty bad at. Stand-up comedy would be right up there with juggling and trigonometry in terms of how good you do the very first time mm-hmm. you tried. I mean, they're the greatest stand-ups in the world tell stories about how horrible they were the first 2 years. They did the first 30 times on stage. The first time, you're usually just a deer in the headlights.
Not in this case. It was really quite remarkable, I have to say.
Talk about poise.
Well, by the way, let me just say this, though, because, of course, we have to tell you this, because the show started with a surprise. Adam Carolla hit the stage. He said, this and that. What a show. My wife is pregnant, not feeling well. I have to leave.
Yes.
Good night.
Thank you.
And he walked out the door.
Well,
said,
she did.
Sheck will handle it. I was like, what? What do I got to handle it for?
I didn't have to go. I sat in the back of the room with sunglasses on, beaming like a proud father, watching you rise to the occasion and take control of the crowd.
Yeah, that's like Gene Hackman in Hoosiers. Throw me out of the game.
That's what I said to Bruska. Eric?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Eric.
You remember the end of that song, though? It goes, come to the honeycomb hideout.
That's right. The honeycomb hideout. It really just sounds like a web address for a gay porn site or something. Honeycomb hideout.
And yet, when I was 8, it was my greatest desire to be in the honeycomb.
Oh, yeah. Go to that treehouse and eat that honeycomb.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody pointed out, I don't know who, whether it was the Trix Rabbit or whoever was chasing it. First thing you do is you invent a cereal, and next thing you do is invent the character, an animal that's trying to get his paws on some, literally. He's trying to get mm-hmm. some, but he's always denied. And I think that's a fairly cruel message to send to young kids. There's a lot of animals out there that need sustenance as well. They'll not be getting any of this.
Fend for themselves.
Yeah, it would have been so crazy if the rabbit would have actually got the tricks. I mean, what would have been the big deal? Or the honeycomb bear? Remember that honeycomb bear?
I got to tell you, tricks are for kids.
I guess. The honeycomb bear who sounded like Bing Crosby... Yeah. Boo, 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 boo. Boo, boo. Who sounded like Yogi Bear? Who, yeah. By the way, Honeycomb Bear, Black Bear. He's a
right?
black character, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Diversity.
Yeah, I do like that. What gives with that? Listen, survival of the fittest, kids. Learn it as soon as possible. We rule the globe. The animals that want the cereal, to hell with them.
Yeah, what happens later on when the kids get pets? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet you'd love some doggy food, Mr. Doggy, wouldn't
but
you?
I'm going to eat it instead.
I'll eat it instead. Ooh. All right, we will take ourselves a break. Def Rat Guy waiting in the wings. Wow. My mom on the program today.
Mother's Day coming up.
Versus Dave's mom and a mom off. We may have to enact the slaughter rule at a certain point, Dave. Jeff Probst coming in. Jeff Probst is one of these guys where if I could swap lives with somebody, it would be him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other people you think, well, swap lives with this guy or that guy. He's got more money, or he's better looking, or he's whatever. I'll tell you why you don't do that. Other guys have a lot of money, and they have a lot of whatever irons in the fire. They have a great life, but they seem uncomfortable in their own skin. He isn't. He seems supremely confident and at ease all at the same time.
Who would it be the best in the world to swap lives with right now?
Yes.
Pat Sajak, baby.
Yeah, it would be great to be a 62-year-old game show host.
Yeah.
I was thinking more along the lines.
I was thinking that the Trix Rabbit would be better than Pat Sajak.
I was going to go with LeBron James or something like that.
He works 2 days a year, makes mint.
Yeah. But look, my point is when you're going to swap lives, and maybe we should turn this into something to play one day, which is You, a lot of people might just say, before recent situations arose, Charlie Sheen, this guy nails tons of hot chicks. He makes tons of money. No, tortured. He seems like his body is filled with maggots and cockroaches.
And
you
cocaine.
Know? And cocaine. Every time you see him, he just looks like he's rotting from the inside out. He seems horribly uncomfortable in his own skin. See, if you're going to make the swap, yes, you want to get laid. Yes, you want the money. But you want that quiet confidence that Jeff Probst has. Always in a good mood. Always the same guy. Traveling all over the world. Nailing hot women. But... just in the most matter-of-fact kind of way.
Salt
just enjoying
of the earth
life.
That way, yes.
That's right.
Forthcoming.
Right.
I like him a lot. Yeah, but you know, then on the other hand, I mean, by the way, he no wonder is on cloud nine. He remains our celebrity ass-kiss champion.
Rodeo champion, oh. Yeah.
He's the world champion. But then there's a guy like Clooney. You say, oh, I'd like to be Clooney. He's got it all. But then he's like 46 or older, isn't he?
No.
I think he's
45, 46. In there, maybe 44, 45, 46. It's not really. I mean, I don't think it has to be about trading years, because if you start getting caught up in that game, then it really limits you. You just change the life of... Clooney has a great life, but I think Clooney feels the weight of the world on his shoulders. He feels like he needs to do something.
Whereas, you mean socially relevant.
Right.
Just having fun.
Right, Probst seems like he can just do as he can spend a day watching a ball game. I don't think Clooney feels that way. I think he feels he has greatness every minute. I mean, you think about the burden. Once you've decided you're great, once you've decided that you're talented and you have something to offer society, if you've decided you're an amazing artist, then every day you don't crap out a painting is a day wasted in your mind. Because eventually Picasso and Van Gogh and Renoir, they're in the ground. Now, they're in the ground and they have their body of work. If they'd only painted that Sunday, there'd be another 150 paintings floating around with their work, their legacy left behind. Yes?
Yeah, no one who wants pressure like that.
No. Not
that's
us.
Why
no,
I say you. Pat Sajak, people.
Okay. I'm starting to come around with you on the Sajak thing.
See? Happy?
What do you think he's pulling down a year?
Ooh. I don't know. 11?
11 million?
I do.
What?
King World. Isn't it a King World show? Majorly produced.
Hey, look.
Think about it.
The guy's been on top for 20 years. Find out what Sajak made.
I would have guessed six figures, maybe.
All right.
Oh.
Different.
I'm taking you out.
WTF.
What?
WTF.
I don't know what that stands for. When...
What the F?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Dude, I was supposed to be on.
Okay.
I've been up all night. I drank myself sober.
The Def Rock guy was very well received last night.
I know, and I suspect that could be a double-edged sword for us. On one hand, he's beloved by our fans, which is great. On the other hand, I expect him winning a raise and throwing some attitude around.
Guess what? He did it on stage. Oh. He took that to use it as some sort of pulpit to ask for money and this and that. I didn't appreciate it.
Bro, you got to go to prank.
Okay, listen. Hold on. This is my radio program. Okay, he's right. We should. I'm sorry, Def Rat Guy. We'll be right back with Def Rat Guy after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. This is what a year and a half of junior college sounds like.
Hey, this is Vinny Pastore. You know me as Big Pussy from The Sopranos. I'm dead and I'm hanging out with my boy Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla, you could call him at, what can we call him at? We could call him at 1-866-901-ADAM. You could fix that, right?
Come on, man, really?
Hey, forget about it.
A million opinions and only one eyebrow. The Adam Carolla Show.
Maverick.
Can't hear much, but he can still drink beer and party every day. Well, he likes chicks, sorority girls are always ready to play. Well, Moose gets Woody at the drop of a hat, but he says that he ain't bi. Just a fifth-year senior living it up, hearing loss ain't a crime. He's a Def Rat Guy.
Maverick.
Def Rat Guy.
Chick.
Def Rat Guy.
Maverick.
Def Rat Guy.
Def Rat Guy in studio, 50-year senior from USC, representing the Teak House last night over at the Improv. Good to see you, Mav.
What's up, bro? I haven't slept yet.
I know, you're wearing the same thing I saw you wearing last night.
They say if you keep drinking, eventually you'll sober up. That is exactly what happened in my case.
Really? So you actually drank through your buzz?
Hell yeah.
So you had more than a hair from the dog that bit you, but you just kept going right through, huh?
I powered through until I was completely sober.
Well, a hero of yours is on the phone. His name is Johnny Lechner. He's a 12th-year student over at the University of Wisconsin at Whitewater. His dad's also on the phone. Let's talk to Johnny first. Johnny?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening, Johnny?
I'm also wanting to say hi to Jeff Pratt guy, too.
He says hi.
Wait, Johnny Lechner's on the phone?
Yes. Yeah. I know you idolize him, you guys over at the Teak House.
Hell yeah, the dude has been in college for like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, I need your help.
He's trying to make it 13, by the way.
Hey, you're the king of the West Coast, brother, and I'm not kidding.
Thank you.
Right now, I've got 2 days until graduation,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to figure out a way out of this. I don't know if you can help me out, but I need your listeners.
Well, let's recap for a second here. You are going to graduate in 2 days, or they're going to throw you out in 2 days?
They're showing me the door and kind of nudging me softly with the bottom of their foot.
Mm-hmm. So they're asking you to leave, and you'll not be leaving with a degree.
No. I'll be graduating with a triple major, triple minor. It hasn't been all fun these 12 years. You know, I've been working hard in my classes.
So if you're going to graduate, though, maybe I'm confused now. If you're going to graduate in 2 days, then why not leave?
I'm not ready to leave.
Right, but do you want to? Do you just want to go on? Do you just want to go on and get another degree?
Well, you know what, Adam, I feel like for a while I was trying to kind of develop myself into this college expert, you know, in 12 years. And I'll tell you, I'm embarrassed to say I haven't studied abroad yet.
So you'd like to study abroad?
So basically we're trying to figure out a way that I can maybe add one more year. Financially, you know, I'm your typical broke college guy.
Well, how much is it going to take?
I don't think we could round up enough money from your listeners or corporate donations, but I would need about another $5,000 to $10,000 to add mm-hmm. one more year.
Def Frat Guy?
Bro. Sell T-shirts.
Yeah, Def Frat Guy sold some T-shirts last night. Teak T-shirts, the Teak House he's involved with. Did you make some money, Def Frat Guy?
A little bit, but at the end of the night, I left pretty disappointed.
No, really.
I think it's cool, though, the Def Rat guy. He's on the cusp of going out into the world, and he's putting a little, you know, money in his pocket.
Yeah.
It's very,
entrepreneurial
industrious.
Spirit. Speaking of that, Johnny's father is on the phone. John?
Good morning.
Hi. Now, obviously, you're disappointed in the fruit of your loins, yes?
Well, obviously, after 4 or 5 years, I was disappointed.
Right.
So the disappointment grew at year 6 and got unbearable at year 7. Year 8, I was probably freaking out. And now I'd say, well, I give up.
So would he? There's no way you're going to pay for him to go to college for a 13th year?
Oh, I've never paid for John. He's done this all on his own.
Oh, all right. So you really, even though you're disappointed, you don't really get a vote, or you can't vote with your pocketbook, as they say.
I don't vote with my pocketbook. He's done this on his own, but I still need to guide him
mm-hmm.
as a parent the best I can. But I've kind of conceded to that over the last few years here. But yeah, there's disappointment.
What is your story, John? Did you go to college?
I did not get a degree in college. I went for a couple years, and then I went into the military, and I've gotten some civilian-related education there.
What do you do now for a living?
I'm an operations manager in an engineering firm, so I've landed on my feet well, but that was back in the 70s when you could get by with
right.
a college degree, and fortunate enough for me, I've been able to hang on to my position.
Right, so you worry about the future for young Johnny, or not-so-young Johnny, your son.
And are you expected now to give young Johnny a job?
John's background does not fit in engineering, so I would not be giving John a job.
He could get a job at a toga manufacturing company, perhaps.
12 years, one of his degrees doesn't apply.
What are your degrees or your majors in, Johnny?
If I graduate, when I graduate in 2 days, it'll be a triple major, triple minor. The areas of emphasis are education, communications, theater, liberal studies, health, and women's studies.
Women's studies. Well, I laugh, but my mother, who basically looks like Tom Petty with boobs, has a degree in Chicano studies from Valley College out here in the San Fernando Valley. So I understand that joke. Well, we'd like to help you out. What do we do? How can we help you?
Well, I'll tell you, if we can direct people, you know, I do have a website. It's johnnylechner.com. There is a place there where people can donate money to the college fund. You know, that's one way. Otherwise, you know, if somebody wants to hook me up with a nice job for the summer, I mean, I'm up for anything that your listeners can help me out with. And I know, you know, something could really come of all this, because I don't really want to take the plunge. You know, I don't necessarily want to graduate in 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, as I've mentioned, I admit it. You know, all the jokes aside, I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah.
How many chicks?
I know I'm enjoying my life.
Def Rat guy, what do you say?
How many chicks have you banged?
I've been in love quite a few times in college.
I'm not acting about love, bro.
I'll tell you, it is. I never did have the opportunity to go to college. I think when you're young, you don't appreciate whatever you have whenever you have it. Kids that are, you know, parents are filthy rich and they have everything in the world, they're just as miserable as the poor kids. That's what it's like when you're 18 and 19. How old are you, by the way, now, Johnny?
I'm 29 years old.
29. So starting to get older than some of the people, some of the professors that are teaching the classes, right?
Yeah. It's actually one of my teacher's assistants, I actually graduated from high school with her, so it's
getting embarrassing. Yeah, but why leave the friendly confines of the college campus? I understand there's women all over the place. There's no real class system yet. Once you get out, then especially when it comes to women, you're just a guy with a crappy job. Now everybody's on the same level. Hot chicks, you, everybody.
Bro.
No, that's it. I mean, there's no biting and scratching. Nobody, there's no competition. You know, we're not trying to work our way up in the world.
I understand, but using that logic, why don't you crawl back inside your mom? Because there's really nothing in the womb. That's where you have almost zero competition.
Bro.
I think my social life would be a little more active in the college scene than in my mother's womb.
All right.
Bro.
We could send hookers up there, by the way, to visit you. Go ahead, Def Rat guy.
Bro, Poochie's uncle has done what you are trying to do without the hassle of going to classes and taking tests. He left, dude. He was unhappy with his family life. He didn't like his kids. He was in a loveless marriage. And he bailed, bro. Now he's living in the house with us, and he's having the time of his life. Except... Smitty says he saw the other day. He saw him crying.
Oh.
That's too bad.
Yes, it is. He does have his quiet moments. Well,
hey,
look,
Johnny, let me ask Johnny this: how much are you in the hole,
money wise? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it matters how you want to look at it, but I do have a little under $30,000 in loans that I've taken out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not kidding. As soon as I write a book about all this and sell it, I mean, that $30,000, that's going to be a clean, you know, that's going to be cleaned up.
Oh, yeah, no. It'll go like hotcakes because parents around the country want to know how to extend their children's college stay. It'll be how to get your kid out of college in under 15 years with a four-year degree.
So I'll have a chapter helping people. You know, if this is a book for parents, I'll tell them how to get their kids out sooner if
right.
they want.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, you'll be like one of those guys, those drug rehab counselors who's been strung out himself. Listen to me. I've bottomed out. I know what it's like. All right, John and Johnny. By the way, John.
Yes.
See, this is the danger of giving your kid your namesake. When you give him the same name and he turns out to be a 13-year college loser, now there's a guy walking around named John Lechner. And you're John Lechner, too. That's why I'm not going to do it with my kid. I don't want him to disgrace the good name of Adam.
Yeah, I'm getting all the phone calls, and I'm just answering. No, I've got a job. You've got the wrong Johnny here.
Good day, sir.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, here's the thing. There's a one-half of 1/10% chance that your kid may be in the NFL and be a wideout in the NFL, but there's a better than not chance he's just going to be a felon or some flunky working at a fast food place, in which case he takes your name with him.
Yeah,
it's a big mistake. I just
great irony, though, when Johnny, the ultimate sort of loser guy, when he makes a fortune from not getting a job, he's going to be the hero of many generations of college students to come.
Yes.
Can I give you irony?
Modern day Blutarsky. Yes.
Can I give you one piece of advice, bro? Why don't you just go to graduate school?
Yeah, that's.
And then get your doctorate.
Yeah, that's. I put him on hold, but it's a good question, Johnny.
I'm afraid of, starting to focus everything in, obviously, going on 13 years here, I could have almost been a doctor 2 times. Mm-hmm. Really, what I'm trying to do is, keep it vague, keep it broad, so I can go in all kinds of different directions.
Do you live on campus?
I live in a house right on campus with a bunch of my friends. It's probably not as active as the...
What house are you in?
The bunch of your friends, though, are 19, though, right?
Oh, no. I've got 2 guys I'm grooming to be the next 12th-year college seniors. One of my other buddies who graduated about 4 or 5 years ago.
I see.
I brought him back to school.
You're just renting a house, though. You're not in a fraternity house.
Are you an SAE?
No. Yeah, we're just renting a house.
Deke?
No. Hey, Def Rat guy?
What's up, bro?
They're renting a house. Not everything with house is a fraternity house. There's the House of Waffles, House of Pancakes, the White House. They're not all... They have the word house, birdhouse. They have the word house in them, but they're not fraternities.
But they all have a main chapter.
No, I'm saying I go home to a house, right? It's just a house.
Delta House.
No. Just all right.
Goddamn disgrace.
I don't think he understands. The point is there are. Well, you guys know what I'm saying, right? There are things called houses that just don't have Greek letters in front of them. Okay. All right. Anyway, we need to take a break. Def Rat Guy is going to hang with us.
Hell yeah!
Thanks, Def Rat Guy. Christian, our 13-year-old comedian, is going to come in. We'll be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. This is what a year and a half of junior college sounds like.
Hi, this is Jessie Jane, and every time I get invited to come to the Adam Carolla Show, I end up taking off my clothes. I mean, I have opinions on stuff.
AdamCarolla.com. It's so much better than internet porn. The Adam Carolla Show.
I'm going to talk to Christian, who's our 13-year-old comedian from Fresno. Go ahead, Christian.
Did you know that flossy, nausea, helipilification means useless? Who's going to use that in place of useless? I'm actually surprised I found the definition. I had to go online to get it. I looked in my dictionary and it said the act of flossy, nausea, helipilificating. Here's a consumer tip for anyone who's thinking about writing a dictionary someday. Please leave out the words that you don't know. Because when you define a word that you yourself don't understand, that's just flossy, nausea, helipilification right there.
Christian, our 13-year-old comedian, he had a triumphant appearance
still
last night at the Improv.
Yes.
Well, that's the copious amounts of blow him and his mom did after the show. Hey, you guys celebrate the way you celebrate. I'm not here to judge. Mom is, Adrian is in. Drove Christian. You guys all drove out from Fresno, right? How long is that drive?
I think it was about 4 hours.
About 4 hours. And you and Pops, Grandma came out too?
Grandma came.
And everybody just staying at a motel?
No, just me and Brett. And Christian. And my mom, yeah.
How's that work, by the way? You guys all stay in the same room?
No. Christian and my mom have a room. And me and Brett have a room.
Creepy, but okay. It's worth it, son. Life on the road. Get used to it. That's how comedians do. They travel with their grandma. Oh, yes. Lenny Bruce. All the great ones. Mort Saul always hit the road with grandma many, many years. And I'm sure Jeff Ross told you about that. So what did it feel like to get up on stage last night?
A little nervous, but it was worth it. It was fun.
Felt good?
Mm-hmm.
I heard I had to leave because my wife was having heart palpitations and promised I come home immediately. Idol was on. But I heard you slayed the room, so says Shaq over here.
It's true. I mean, listen, as I said earlier, I would have expected him to get up and stumble and stammer as I do each morning. And he instead destroyed people at the end, a standing ovation. And by the way, I don't mean any sort of, patronizing round of applause for him. People were in awe. 10 minutes of
right.
Solid material.
I heard a lot of people buzzing that at this, 13 years of age, being this far along comedically in your career, a lot of people saying you're going to be in rehab by 17. Oh, yes, 18, outside. So it went well. How many minutes did you do up there?
It was about 10 minutes.
10
wow,
minutes.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a long, long set. And did you get feedback from any management or anybody who was there at the club?
Yeah, a lot of people said, good job. They shook my hand. A couple of guys actually took my picture. It was kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeff Ross declared him nothing short of the best first-time comic he's ever seen in
his
life.
Well, wow. Like we talked about, it is the first time you go up on stage is always horrible. Although, to be fair to folks like me who did it the first time normally you go up in front of 13 other pissed off comedians who are also there for open mic night. That is your entire audience.
He was playing to the home field.
Yes, at least. Yeah, he had a great... turn the mic toward your face there and speak. Well, you can move your head, too, yeah. either way, and I know you're probably... Your blood sugar's plummeted. You're riding high last night on adrenaline, and now you had to get up at the crack of dawn to come in here. But that's show business, kid. Let me tell you. So what is it? What's next for Christian the comedian?
Well, I don't know. If you guys will still let me, I'll call in every week with a joke. And
right.
No, it's over with. Yeah, the dream's over with. This is downhill from here.
This is the menudo of comedy. Sorry, kid. You're too old.
If you're 11, though, and you're into comedy,
yeah,
please
if you're
call
listening,
in.
We're looking for our next Christian, the comedian. Yeah, you can do that. Are you going to start trying to play a local club?
Well, if I can find one, yeah, definitely.
And you want to make a go at this? You want to do it for a living?
Yeah. I mean, this is what I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Sure.
Long. He's 11 years old.
Been 4 months now.
Christian's mom, how say you? The boy's allowed to drop out of school now and focus on the craft of comedy. Yeah.
Drop out of school? Really, Mom?
Absolutely. He had a teacher there last night, and she just made us promise we'll keep him one more week so he can do the school play. After that, she said whatever.
Wow.
I get the impression that Christian's mom is not kidding around.
No. Well, I think, first off, if you have a computer and you have cable, then anybody can be educated at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll give you my philosophy. I was just talking to my wife about this. She was talking about the twins she's probably giving birth to as we speak and not able to reach me, of course. She was talking about preschools and schools and education and how much it's going to cost and blah, blah, blah. It's important that they start out by going to the right school. I said, look, here's the thing. Either the kid is going to be curious or they're not. We all know these people. I went to school with, hung out with, and spent the majority of my life with a bunch of people who are not curious. You know, I'd say to them all the time, is there a difference between a sofa and a couch or drapes and curtains? Or why do they do this? Or how come? And they just turn to me and go, I don't know. Shut up. They had no interest. They're not curious. And if you're not curious, you'll never learn anything because the only way you learn anything is to go, hey, how's that work? Or, hey, I'd like an answer to this question. Yes, Def Rat Guy.
I have a joke for Christian.
Please.
You should go out on the stage and say, I am from Fresno, but I was reared in San Francisco.
Nice.
That's good stuff, Def Rekka. Point is, if he...
Because they're all butt pirates there.
Yeah, I know.
We weren't sure.
People will laugh or they won't. I don't think you need to go back and explain. Point is, if you're curious and you have a home computer and you're online, you're fine. You're fine. You don't need all this formal education. And by the way, from people that are making $43K a year and have zero social life and way more cats than they've had boyfriends, please, you're on your way, Christian. Can you do a little something from last night for us?
Yeah, I got a new one if you want to hear it.
Oh, you have a new one?
Yeah.
All right. Now you delivered this last night on stage.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. I said, my grandma is the only person I ever known who called a pet psychic. She wanted to know what her cats were thinking. I asked her what insurance she had that the pet psychic was telling the truth, and she said that the pet psychic told her that one of her cats, Harley, had missed her sister, and Harley had been watched over by her sister her entire life. I said, Grandma, could it be possible that maybe since cats are born with 12 other brothers and sisters, Carol guessed one of them might have been a female? And it became extremely obvious that this thought had never crossed her mind, and she said, that's not possible. I said, why not? She said, because I just paid $40 a friggin' minute for her to tell me what my cat was thinking.
I would laugh harder, but my wife's listening, and she wants to send the dog to a dog psychic as well. So
I hope that's and not
the dog.
So.
Well, the dog whisperer, who she really wants to talk to.
I have a friend who actually has. Not even kidding.
Yeah, it is very, very sad. The time. This is why the terrorists hate us. By the way, they're trying to dig wells in the desert, and we're looking for whisperers to talk to our pets. What a society.
Christian, did you learn anything though from the masters, the Jeff Rosses, the Dave Attells, the Def Frat guys?
Yeah. No, I mean, they're really comfortable in the audience, and don't be stiff, don't be afraid to be louder.
Who were you impressed by?
I thought Dave Attell and Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross was. It seemed like he was kind of going on instinct, and and Dave Attell was just. He was hilarious.
Yeah, he's an amazing stand-up. So that's the kind of guy. I mean, you have to sort of. There's comedy, and then within comedy. I always say comedy is sort of like sports, and then you have to pick a sport. You could like sports, but is it golf? Is it tennis? Is it football? You have to figure out the kind of comedian you're interested in. Dave Attell's the kind of comedy you like.
Yeah.
Just boozing and whoring and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. All-nighters. All right, Christian, nice job, buddy. Mazel tov, as Jeff Ross people would say. Tracy, you're going to be doing the news, and Adrian, thanks, Ma. I'll tell you what a parent. There's no way. I lived in North Hollywood. I couldn't get a ride to Van Nuys when I was 13. I couldn't imagine traveling 6 hours, staying in a motel so you can watch your son realize his dreams of being a stand-up comedian.
That's a mother.
Well, it was really great, and we really appreciate everything that you guys have done for him.
Yeah, thank you.
It was wonderful.
Our pleasure. We'll talk to you next week when you call in with more fantabulous humor. Tracy.
Yes, Adam, we have some upsetting idol news in the Metro Minute.
That's all coming up. We have the news, the sports, much more. Jeff Probst, my mom's going to be on the phone. Dave's mom's going to be on the phone.
I have upsetting news, too.
Mommy!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
In sports.
After this.
Check out the Adam Carolla Show on the web at adamcarolla.com.
This is Tori Spelling. You're listening to the insert adjective here. Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, I get it.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Sunday's Mother's Day, and later on this morning, we'll find out whose mom listens to the show more. It's the mom off. Adam's mom versus Dave's mom. Place your bets. The competition begins in a little while. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, as I said, we may have to enact the slider rule.
I'm putting up my vast fortune, everything I own, on Mo Damashek. How say you? I'll give you 10-1 odds.
Oh, no. Well, I know your mom sits in her living room around the shrine that she's built for you with a stenographer every morning, capturing every word that comes out of her baby's mouth.
So?
All right.
Oranges and incense, part of the shrine.
Yes. I say it's made you soft, Damashek. You've lost your edge.
I'm not arguing that point.
Okay, good. Def Rec guy hanging with us today. He's going to be giving some advice later on. Tracy, Metro is here. She's doing news for us. I'm sorry I have to look down. You have to understand, there is a new news goddamn person in here every goddamn day.
It's okay.
And God love you. This is not directed Tracy. Toward you, Tracy. Yes.
Exactly. God love you, the girl over there.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm cool.
But it really is all you want in a job. Here's all you want in a job is to get past that part where it's like driving a rental car, where you have to look for every knob. You have to look down. It's nice just to go Brusca, to go Brian, to go Damashek, to know where the clock is, know what the call letters are, see what the phone number is. That's the part of life that sucks. That's the part of life that involves concentration, studying, everything. It's the part of the job that sucks. It's the part of the relationship that sucks. The part of school that sucks. Once you get in that part where you know everyone in the building, you know everyone's name and everything, that's a good part. The news part is tough because I have to keep looking down and go, who the hell's in here today?
Well, what happened last night when you called Brian Mike?
Sad.
Twice.
Sad, no. Yeah.
I like to think you're just playing the percentages. We got like four mics on staff. You lose your track.
It's really dark out there. Well, look, they didn't know. They wouldn't know if you were Mike the sound guy or Mike the sound guy. Yes.
It's the same thing with incoming freshmen.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They're just puke number one and puke number two to you, right?
Hell yeah.
You're a goddamn disgrace.
All right, so we're going to do some news. You going to hang in, Def Rat Guy?
Hell yeah.
I hear you have an update of your own before we get to the official news.
I want to give a hands up to all the people that have really supported me through this thing.
Mm-hmm. What thing?
There was an incident over spring break.
Right.
Where Mike F., Smitty, and I hooked up with some foreign exchange students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they turned out not to be foreign exchange students.
No, they're gypsies.
We slept with them. They were Romanian gypsies.
Mm.
They stole everything. Our keys, wallets, cell phone.
Right.
They charge stuff on our ATM cards.
So you guys thought you were just going to be partying with some hot foreign chicks. And it turns out they rolled you.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
But now... And now justice has been served.
Oh.
Well.
You vowed revenge on them.
Revenge is almost mine, but it will not be complete until you are raped in prison, you stinking whore.
Oh, wow. And let me just say this. You, the Def Rat Guy spring break, you do not disrupt the sanctity of the spring break. That's like somebody bursting into a funeral that you're having for a beloved grandparent and dropping their pants, you know? Yeah. You just don't do that.
You don't.
Sacrilegious, I say.
Don't mess with spring break. And you did. You crossed the line.
That's right.
Ooh, tough words.
You not only stole our wallet, keys, cell phone, etc. You stole our spring break.
Oh.
And you shall be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
You know, I smell a movie in the making here. An after-school special.
Def Rat Guy, give that same speech about stealing the wallets and the cell phones and end with stealing your innocence. I think that'll be good. That's true. That's real. Really just deliver that. I want to hear what that sounds like.
You did not only steal our wallet, keys, cell phone, pager, but you stole our innocence.
Maybe I'm just more delighted with it because I fed it to him, but that is solid. The point is justice has been served.
Justice has finally been served, and I hope your day in prison, each day is more horrible than the last.
Well, proving once again there is a God, and he carries a paddle with the name Teak burnt into it.
Hell yeah. And these quote-unquote exchange students are being spanked to the fullest extent of the law.
All right. Well, the point is the gypsies ripped you off, and now they're paying. Good news. Now, I suppose there's other news going on as well.
You know, Adam, there is. There's real news here, people.
Now it's time for Tracy Metro in the real news.
That's exactly right. Now, we are going to lead with idle news. quite the upset when rocker dude Chris Daughtry was voted off the island last night. Now, many thought that he would be the last man standing, and clearly audiences were pissed when he was eliminated.
A lot of people predicted, Chris, that you could be the next American Idol. Chris, you are going home tonight. The journey ends.
It was so abrupt. And it was like, you're with a woman you've been with for a year and a half and saying, you know, a lot of people say we should get married. And then you reach in your pocket and you pull out a nickel and you go, here's bus money. Hit the bricks, bitch. Mm-hmm. Well, and he was just standing there. He was stunned.
What we didn't hear were all the boos from the audience. Man, they were pissed.
Yeah. And also, Seacrest always does that thing where it's like, Chris, a lot of people say that you are the one who is going home, and they would not be right or wrong with it. And everyone just stands there because you have to process his, right, his lengthy verbiage. Am I going home? Am I staying? The person right next to him never knows what to do because they're always like, do I sit down? Chris, tonight, you're the one who may watch the other one sit down.
So does that mean me?
You are the one who gets to watch the other one sit down from stage tonight.
So I don't understand. Am I
what
in
I'm
or
saying
am I
very
out?
Clearly is you'll not be the one who does not have to stay while the other one leaves.
Woohoo!
Well, clearly what I'm saying to you and the rest of America is that you were not the one who did not receive the least votes as America spoke, and they did, and when they did not say your full name.
Dang.
You're not, no, you don't have to stay. What I'm saying is, feel free to do what you want.
So am I.
Go ahead and have a stand right here.
I'll see you next week, then?
Oh, no. Yes. No. You were not the one that America thought needed not to leave.
So
you're
we're
out.
Both in?
No, clearly. Clearly, you and the other one need to not go.
I'm out of response.
Well, check this out. Big Tad.
Just hold on. Just say the one that's staying and the one that's leaving. Make it clear. It's exciting enough. They don't do that, by the way. It's not like in boxing matches where they go and Evander Holyfield's over here and Mike Tyson's over here and the ref stands in front of him, holds Tyson's hand up and goes, the one whose hand I hold in the air would be the one who didn't win the fight. Just say who goddamn wins.
So he did it last night. And I got to tell you, Big Tad signed two petitions last night for a recount.
Yes, I did.
Well, I would be fair that once you get over 300 pounds, you get two signatures. You get two votes.
I was pissed.
In my America, that's how it'll count. Guys that are 700-800 pounds, I'll get 3-4 votes.
Nice.
Why not? And folks under 100 pounds, look out. You get nothing.
There's a conspiracy going on.
He was good.
He was the best. But...
And here's what I sort of like about American Idol. It is, and by the way, you know, Kimmel always argues with me when I say, well, the thing about American Idol is I don't need the first 6 months where they're going from town to town with a card table watching Paula Abdul drink a Diet Coke with a straw and explain to some guy who's clearly a put-on that him singing the Wham song is not going to cut it in Hollywood while he's dressed as a rodeo clown. I don't need to see karaoke night after karaoke night after karaoke night. But when it gets to the end and there are people that are actually talented and there's things that are at stake, you do start pulling for the people
it's
you're
exciting.
Pulling for. And it is exciting. Jimmy says, no, it's quite the opposite. This part's no good. The other part's fun. That, to me, is karaoke night over at Dimples. I feel like if any one of the four would have got knocked out last night, it would have been a disappointment. And someone has to
and
leave.
And then there's also option number three, which is that both of you are losers for watching American Idol.
Yes, Kat.
You should be home with the proud masturbating into your terrible towel.
I'm sorry, real quick. Tuesday night's episode, Kat did not do the right job with the Elvis songs. Chris was the better person, and America sucks because they voted him off.
You are gay.
I don't care.
If you want America to suck marginally less, you'll move to Cuba, Tad.
I'm planning on it.
Please do. Form yourself into the shape of a raft. Wait a minute. A bigger raft and float to Cuba.
I was thinking maybe he could really be industrious and become a nation of his own.
Who's with me?
just become a Caribbean nation.
Yeah, listen.
People could go and visit and put up resorts on them.
Here's the thing. Yeah, where would you plant the flag, though? Here's the thing about McPhee. She's McHot, by the way. And the thing about the idol is, okay, it's not all about your pipes, although she has great pipes, but she's beautiful and she's charismatic, and she certainly didn't do a bad job on Tuesday night. She deserves to be there as much as anyone else.
Excellent. Sounds good. All right, moving on. Yesterday, tour manager for the Great Whites, or do you call it, do you say tour manager
great
for Great White? All right, there you go.
I know, it's just Great Whites.
You know, listen, people.
Bang your head, baby.
I don't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. Daniel, is it B. Clay? Listen, I've called everybody I know, nobody knows. Anyway, the guy was sentenced to 4 years in prison for his role in the Rhode Island nightclub fire that killed 100 people, including the band's guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
B. Clay, if that's how you say his name, set off pyrotechnics that ignited a foam wall in the nightclub, injuring hundreds.
Yeah. You know, I know there's 99 people dead, and it's tragic. In my world, guys like this don't need to do prison time.
Mm.
They set off a pyrotechnic pod that caught a dangerous club on fire that didn't have adequate ventilation or exit strategies, and people died. He had no malice other than to put on a good show, and he screwed up, and he'll just be haunted forever with the lives of these 90. No, he's not a terrorist. He's a family guy who killed 99 people now and has to go to bed with that every night. The 4 years he spends in prison,
with
really.
Zacharias Moussaoui sleeping above him in the bunks.
Right. It's like, go to prison and think about what you did. I think he's going to think about it. And it's not to prevent him from starting other fires at clubs. He's not a serial arsonist. In my book, he can go. I don't mind if that guy goes.
Just banish him to Fat Tad Island.
But in my world, the
that
guy
might be bad enough.
In my world, the guy who came up with the phrase "dads and grads" needs to be punished severely.
And in other news, the Japanese mafia Yakuza has moved on from dealing drugs and running prostitutes to recycling cans. That's right, you heard correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they've been paying off an army of homeless guys to go around collecting aluminum cans. One group of guys has been pulling in $18,000 profit a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is in Japan?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Because, you know, sometimes the Japanese mafia, it's rarely in the city that it's in. You know, we think about that, you know, or the country that it's in, you know. It's interesting.
I like the Kill Bill music.
Yeah.
Appropriate.
All right. Well, they're recycling. Good.
Very good. This
is how it works.
And finally, a little bit more entertainment news for you. After 8 seasons on the air, NBC's hit show Will and Grace is saying a fond farewell.
Mm.
While the broadcast has been making the requisite publicity rounds, Sean Hayes, who plays Jack McFarland, got a little personal about his pre-show rituals.
Before each show, I have a PSP, not Sony PlayStation. I have a pre-show poop, which because I get a nervous stomach because I get, you know, I get nervous.
And we cannot start the show until he has had his poop.
And obviously,
so we check in.
We had to wait a couple of times.
Now everybody's laughing, but honest to God, isn't a poop so freeing?
There you go.
When did it become okay for sitcoms in their last 2 or 3 seasons just to become half-hour dramas? Every goddamn commercial I've seen. Next, on the only 32 Will and Grace is left to go. Grace has ovarian cancer. And then they just show a clip, and she's going, I got the call from the doctor. And he's crying, going, I know. And then that's it. That's the sitcom. That's Will and Grace, everybody. Why does it become okay for sitcoms to stop being funny in the last season if they've made it 6 seasons?
Well, I hate...
It's a sitcom. I don't care what happens.
The coverage of the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens as these shows wind down and everybody crying. It was very hard to get through the best one of those ever was Perfect Strangers, Bronson Peen show, reminiscing about his last time with Perfect Strangers.
Be careful, Dave.
I know he's
treading on some pretty sacred ground for the Iceman.
That's your favorite show.
Just be careful. Well, but just watch yourself.
Well, you know how Bronson Peen show, a.k.a. Balky Bartokomus and his cousin. Right.
I'm familiar with the character.
They would do that happy dance.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the last show.
Be careful,
after
Dave.
After they were done with taping the final show, the audience demanded one last happy dance. In Bronson Peen show, they have video of him, and he describes
sobbing
how tough it was, and he sobbed through the whole thing.
Be very
it was very difficult.
Okay, David, that's enough. That's enough.
Well, tonight, not only are they doing the show, they're doing a supersized version. It's a 40-minute episode of Will and Grace.
Okay.
There you go. And that's the Metro Minute.
Do 20 minutes and I'll watch.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Extra large NBA playoff game in the Valley of the Sun last night. Suns up 1-0 in their series against them Clips from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Elton Brand and his pals took the pipe to Steve Nash's fellas.
Yeah.
122-97.
Yeah.
Who said the Clippers would win big last night? I did.
Oh.
Did I say it on the air? No, I did not. Did I bet on it? No, I did not.
Oh.
Am I still proud of the pick? No, I am
Let me keep going. Did it audibly pass his lips? No, it did not. Did he think it? No, it did not. But does he have the guts to say it the following day after the victory? Yes, he does.
Thank you.
Thank you.
National pastime. Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news again. Listen close.
Mm-mm.
If you hear your team's name called, you should feel glee.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like the Price is Right.
Yes.
You know, like, come on down. You know, if you hear your name called, you're in good shape.
Well, yell come on down after each one.
San Diego Padres, come on down!
Wow.
Arizona Snakes, come on down! Man. You are the next contestant.
All winners.
And L.A. Dodgers, come on down!
Woo.
Back to 500, Ace. A day that you never thought would come has arrived.
No, as I predicted, they would never be at 500 this short 9 months into the season. What are they now? They
17 and 17.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, this is why I love the game.
Hey.
This is why I have to keep watching. 17 and 17, that's 34. Only 128 more games,
well,
everybody.
Well, here's reason number 128 that I love. I love baseball. Today, Thursday, businessman special out at Chavez Ravine. 12 noon start. Take off work. Run out to the ball yard. Get drunk. Eat wieners.
I know I say this all the time. Done and done. Billy's going to eat wieners regardless. The board up, that is. 128. Here's the deal. If you're listening and you're on the Dodgers, you're involved with the Dodgers in any way, shape, or form, if you guys can only afford to lose another between 65 and 78 games, that's it. That's it. You lose more than 78 games, the season's over for you. So really focus now, people.
All right. Listen, go out to Chavez Ravine. That's
right.
What I say.
All
now,
right.
I gave some good news. Of course,
mm-hmm.
There's another side to that coin, the
mm-hmm.
bad news.
Mm-mm.
If you hear your name called here, I'm going to need you to stick around after class.
Uh-oh.
For a little extra tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
Mariners.
Mm-mm.
Athletics.
Mm. Mm.
And Giants.
Mm. Mm.
Sorry. We'll get you back on track with
mm-hmm.
some work and some tutoring, and you just got to apply yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's really about. All right, Stanley Cup playoffs. Sharks with a chance to go up 3-0. And bring us to the very edge of a Ducks versus Sharks Campbell Conference final,
mm-hmm.
which of course would mean Chi Chu versus mm-hmm. Tamu up in Edmonton. The game went to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
No score after the first overtime. It goes to a second overtime. Chi Chu, with a point blank chance between the circles, snaps off a wrister. He's robbed by the netminder.
Snaps off a wrister.
That's right.
You have to use that.
Then, in a third overtime, much to the delight of the Edmonton crowd, this.
Ryan Smith gets it again, NBA Internet. Wrap around. Horkov. Score! The Oilers win the hockey game. 3-2.
I mean, exciting for the home crowd, but let's keep our eye on the prize. What we all want to see, Tamu versus Chi Chu. Chi Chu. I look to you. The Ducks are up 3-0. They're going to get it done.
Right.
Now, Chi Chu, you must put the Sharks on your back and do it. Chi Chu! Chi Chu! Jonathan, Chi Chu!
Right,
that's enough of that.
All right.
Nice job, Ryan. Dave Damashek's number one sports.
I was thinking when you were talking about staying after class, you know, when you're young, staying is a bad thing. You know, I'm going to need, well, by the way, everybody can leave. Mr. Carolla, I'm going to need you to hang back for a second. We need to talk about your test scores here. It's bad. But then later in life, it's a good thing. Okay, everyone did great on the audition. Mm-hmm. Shirley and Sarah, you guys stay. The rest of you, thank you for coming out. It becomes a good thing. It's kind of confusing. We ought to just convert it one way or the other. Get used to leaving being good or get used, because it's always a little confusing if staying is good or bad. Right. You know, you can go, could be good or could be the worst news of your life, and staying could be the same.
I hear you.
Let's just work it out. The more you know. Thank you very much. All right. I just screwed that, screwing with Brian because he was standing on the other side of the room.
Is Brian drunk or something?
No, yeah, he's got a little, he caught a buzz last night, right? Yeah, there he goes. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Mark Maron is coming in. Air America is his show or his network. He's going to talk to us about, I don't know what, but I bet he's angry. After this.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Harlan Williams, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show with your ears. But for a little change, use your eyes.
We'll be right back with more on The Adam Carolla Show.
I'm going to play the resentful interviewer who is jealous of everything you do.
Again?
Yeah.
Nice. No, you're like the alcoholic uncle that comes up to you at the family reunion. It's like, hey, what are you drinking? It's like, yeah. Oh, vodka tonic. Yeah. Oh, I bet that's good.
Yeah, well, you enjoy that because everything's going good for you now. Now.
Mark Maron in studio. He is the host of the Mark Maron Show on Air America, which is out here at least on 1150 AM Progressive Talk. Also, been doing stand-up for quite some time. You've seen him on Letterman and Leno and Late Night with Conan O'Brien, a favorite, I hear, on that show. Although, you know, I got a beef with Conan.
You do?
Yeah.
He's been good to me, but I'll hear you out.
Well, I had a very, I've done a show a few times, mm-hmm. and I think I first did it with my partner, Dr. Drew, of many years during the Loveline days. And it went fine. And then I went on alone and got a little bluer, I guess, than Conan.
Yeah.
Conan wanted me to go, although we'd worked it all out in advance and they thought it was all very funny. But the crowd, which varies from night to night, didn't respond to it that well. And Conan sort of jumped ship and took his place in the audience while I was sitting there trying to do my stuff.
Well, that's a weird thing about him is that, you know, first of all, the crowd's 12.
Right.
And if you're talking about grown-up topics that don't, you know, refer to comic book characters or goofy stuff, they're like, I don't know.
Somebody in the audience, yeah, somebody did something and I called them a lesbian or something.
Ooh.
And then they got angry and Conan sort of distanced himself from me. Anyway, few years later, me and Kimmel were in town to do a show for the right after 9/11. They were having trouble getting people to New York, and rightfully so, a week after 9/11. We're there for the Hugh Hefner roast, and they wanted Kimmel to come on the show. And he said, well, I'll come on the show, but only if you bring my partner, Adam Carolla. And they said, we don't do partners on the show. And I thought, it's interesting that you would say that to me, of all people, because I'm the only guy on the planet who has done the show with another partner. In fact, I have two partners. So they lied.
Yeah.
Well, it broke my heart.
Conan, he's pretty true to himself. I think he's honestly squeamish about certain things. You sit there with him sometimes, you say things, because we've got this thing that we do where I'm like clearly crazy guy. If I prepare something, I know I'm going to walk out there, and he's like, oh, no, here comes Mark. What's he up to? So I got to kind of play into that. But he is a little squeamish about stuff, honestly.
I would just say, as I think about Kimmel, and I think about Conan, and I think about Leno and Letterman and stuff, these guys, even though they do comedy for a living, in their hearts are pretty straight guys. I mean, they're not doing coke and banging hookers. They're not, you know, a lot of celebrities and a lot of comedians are debaucherous in their lifestyle.
You got to go through that, I think, to get to the good stuff, you know, and then you got to stop or die.
But it seems like the late, it's hopefully die. It seems like the late night show hosts are almost the choir boys of the comedy world.
It's an interesting point. Clean. Yeah, across the board.
It's very clean, yes.
Well, I think they've always played that. I'd heard things about Johnny Carson. I think it's harder to get away with doing drugs. For some reason in the 70s, you look at those shows and the things you hear about Carson and about some of those guys in terms of how hungover they are, how much they were partying. Carson was smoking cigarettes under the desk.
Right.
They were able to pull it off.
Right.
And I think now there's something about the culture. There's something about high-definition TV. You're certainly not going to get away with that crap. You're going to know if someone's high, and they're going to start yabbering too much. And I just don't think the people have the ability to hide their buzz like they used to. So they don't do it.
We were more naive back in the day.
Yeah. You know what it is?
We had a better time.
You know,
hell yeah.
Yeah, you know what it is? Well, anytime you see a guy drinking out of a ceramic mug and it's 11:30 at night, there's booze in it. That's the way I look at it. He's hiding something. He'd have a clear tumbler if there was just water in there. But there, you know what it is as I think about it? It's the metronome. It's the pace. You ever watch movies from 20 years ago, 25 years ago? Long, extended scenes.
Yeah.
You know, just dialogue. People just sitting in a room talking, and you think to yourself, today's 13-year-old would never sit for this.
But we're all 13. They've done it to all of us.
They've sped up our minds. Our metronome is tick, 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 tick.
I don't know where the hell people get the time.
When you're loaded, you can't read a teleprompter to tick, 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 tick. You can't be Steve Colbert or Jon Stewart or one of these guys and be have a little buzz up there because the show will come across as almost lethargic. Whereas back when Johnny in the 70s would do a 90-minute show, I think that's how it was. If you watch old tapes of those shows that you revere, but go back and look at them, the pace is slowed way down, and a couple of boozes does that to you.
Because the culture was slowed down. And if honestly, too, with Blow, I mean, if you watch Robin Williams' first HBO special, and you're not on coke, it's not going to make any sense to you. It's not going to be funny. And I really think that everybody was that high at one time or another. I watch tapes of myself before I stopped doing drugs, and I know when I'm high. And honestly, it's not funny unless other people are high sometimes, because you're sitting there going, la, 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 and if people are not high, they're going to be like, oh, he's got a problem. There's something wrong with him.
I'm a fan of drugs. But the comedians that smoke the weed and go up on stage, to me, that's the scariest thing you could do.
And it's oddly, it's the best one to do comedy on sometimes, because when you're high on pot, you're going to get a kick out of yourself. And if you exude that, if you're like, I'm so funny that I'm not even saying anything, right, then people are like, he's kind of weird and funny, and they start giggling because you're too high to handle yourself. I mean, it's not a memorable comedy show. No one leaves saying, wow, that thing he said was really interesting. They're like, that guy's kind of funny and weird.
But I
feel bad for people who have never been addicted to anything, honestly, because they just don't know what it's like to really want something get it again and again and again until they're sick and have to stop.
Well, they should at least, everybody, every politician, every law enforcement agent should at least have to sample every drug to know what the differences are. Because you see these news stories like, he was high on drugs. But it was pot. That didn't lead him to his, stabbing the hooker 128 times. You don't do that when you're high on pot. You know what it's like? It's like when you work at a restaurant, you have to sample everything. If you're a waiter or waitress, they say, look, you have to sample all the dishes so that you can speak to them when people ask questions about the dishes. All cops should do just one line of Blow.
Oh, they have.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But just one. I'm saying they should limit themselves to one. Maybe I didn't do that right. But they should have to chase the dragon with the heroin just once, some spleef. They should know it all, or politicians, too, because there's nothing worse than that fat, white Republican guy who's only gotten drunk, and he's probably drunk at the time, explaining about drugs entering it. There's a huge difference between, like, saying drugs is just like saying crime.
Well,
there's murder, and then there's pickpocketing. They're not the same.
I've got a solution to it.
What is that?
Well, instead of testing people for drugs where they work, they should just test everyone for drugs they can handle. Yes. You know, like maybe when you get your driver's license, like, do you do any drugs? Well, I smoke a little pot occasionally. Why don't you go sit down over there and smoke this? In about 10 minutes, we're going to take the car out for a spin.
Right.
And if you pull it off, you get pot approved right on your license.
I've been crying for many years to have, right next to the donor sticker on my license, heavyweight. I want my heavyweight status. It's a 0.08 to me, nothing.
Right.
Exactly. I'm above that now from
exactly.
last night. I drive my car just fine. That's
I'm
right.
A pro.
Let's see how you do.
Yeah, I'm a pro.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a cagey veteran in the drug world. I've done it all.
Right. And then next time you get pulled over, you can just say, I don't think so, officer. I'm legally allowed to do 25 in a 55.
I'll take it a step further. Looks like you could go for a cold one.
Yeah.
You reach into the console, open it up. The cooler's built in, right? Yeah. Nothing. Free koozie.
Yeah, yeah.
Free koozie. Nothing. Adam Carolla show right on it. Durable styrofoam. All right. Fine.
Yeah.
So be it. Two-fisted fun for me until I get to the bank.
Come on, officer. One line. One line. Don't you just want to do one line?
What, are you uptight? Not only do I smell bacon, but I smell chicken.
Come on.
All right, we need to take ourselves a quick break. Mark Maron is here from Air America. We'll be back to talk more drugs, more liberal politics,
sure.
more everything. Also, Deaf Rat Guy on deck. Going to be coming in as well. Jeff Probst still coming on. My mom coming on the show. Dave's mom coming on the show. All coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show. This is what a year and a half of junior college sounds like.
Let me explain the genius of Gene Simmons, not only in the marketing of Kiss, but the marketing of his own testicles.
Every woman complains that none of the guys tell her the truth. So you should look into the eyes of your beloved and say, I desire you with every inch of my being, but I want your mommy and your sister too. As long as you get that out of the way, then you're fine.
Yeah, smart.
A million opinions and only one eyebrow. The Adam Carolla Show.
Let's check the Adam Carolla Show
voicemail.
Hey, Adam, I just want to let you know that this is true entertainment. I mean, I have not been glued to my radio in 20 years. I can't even remember the last time. Maybe Wolfman Jack might have glued me to my radio.
I have rashes on my legs that only appear during the winter, and I don't know how to get rid of them.
God, yeah. I would surely appreciate if you guys could discuss men's testicular health.
This is the best show ever today. Congratulations, and good luck in all your future endeavors.
Last week I was listening to Death Frat Guy giving out his advice with the potato gun and everything, and I know you guys are desperately trying to find him a gig on the show. And I was thinking you guys could give him an advice column on the show, because that was hilarious.
And now back to the Adam Carolla Show. Well, your prayers have been answered because Deaf Frat Guy is going to be dispensing the advice on this program today. Yes, Deaf Frat Guy?
Hell yeah.
Mark Maron is here. Comedian Mark Maron. The Mark Maron Show out here in Los Angeles, at least, on a Progressive Talk 1150. Where were we? Air America. Yes, we're talking drugs.
Talking drugs.
Sobriety during the break. You've had 7 years of sobriety?
Yeah, the great thing about being sober is how clearly you can see your disappointment. You know, it was weird. I mean, look, everyone's got demons. You know, the reason I quit doing drugs and drinking is I realized I had all of them. Mm-hmm. And they were tired. You know, I'm 42 years old. You know, there used to be that one that'd be just like, woo, let's go out and get drunk, get some woo. You know, and about 5 years ago, that guy's like, how about some ice cream? You know, so, and there's just a point where if you, like, I grew up wanting to be that guy who lived on the edge, wanting to be the drugged out comic. I was that for 20 years. And if you want to live on the edge, at some point you get there and you're at the edge and you're like, you know, when did they put a mall here? And you just get, you outgrow the desire to do it, and the health benefits are, you know, it just gets tiring.
I'm not sure if Deaf Rat Guy's reached that point yet where he's able to put the bottle away.
Maybe in 20 or 30 years.
Right, you'll stop funneling beer and just start drinking it out of the can.
Well, the other day, when we were cleaning up from this big party we had, Smitty came down and he saw Poochie's uncle crying.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
And he's like shaking his head and going, I can't do this.
Okay, all right. Thanks. Let's get. I'm sorry for that digression.
If you're not wasting the day, is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's right. Always go back to that. It's just like Clinton hold the thumbs up when he ran out of stuff to say.
I really do, though. I think I would feel sad if I thought, you know, I have to stop drinking booze. You know, no more booze ever again for the rest of my life. That would really bum me out.
Me too.
Well, the weird thing is you can't think that way if you're not going to do it. You just got to, you know, change your way of thinking around that stuff if you're going to, if you want to be a sober person. It's not for everybody. I mean, some people can just get drunk once or twice a week and that's fine, or have a drink, whatever. I don't miss booze as much as I miss pot, because it's weird. When you do drugs, all your hobbies fit into a little box that goes right in your desk.
Yeah.
You know, your friends come over, they're like, what are we doing? You're like, let's have a look at the box. Oh, we got a day planned here, you know?
You fill your entire life into a film canister.
Oh, exactly.
It's exciting.
As long as there's room for a remote, the TV remote in the box, too. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing about it. We were talking about people who smoke a lot of pot. I mean, I used to love smoking pot, but I'll tell you, I've seen people 20 years of daily pot use who are just like, I'm working on that thing. I'm almost done with it, man. But this is like 20 years of working on this thing.
Exactly. Right.
And it's always
these are little square yellow notes. They have an adhesive on the back. You could write notes and stick them anywhere, dude.
Yeah, watch. See, right on your forehead.
Better than the dudes who love the weed so much that they get High Times magazine. And then take out the centerfold and hang it in their home. Yeah. This is the statement.
Masturbating to scents. You know, it's like, it's not even women anymore. It's like, look at those red stringy
hairs.
Check
that out,
man.
Dude. It's so green. Oh, it's bright green, dude.
This is the best. I'm getting a contact high here. I have said, though, many times that weed has become too good for us.
I mean,
we have. There's certain things in society, you know, we're trying to speed up everything, get the best, get bigger, get better, get faster. But once in a while, it gets out of hand and we have to reel it in a little bit. In automotive racing, cars have got too fast.
Yeah.
And they had to reel them in. They had to slow down the cars. People were getting killed out on the track, so they reeled it in. They have to do that with weed. The hydroponic farmers have gone too goddamn far with the purple hairs and the crystals and everything. I mean, think about it. You used to smoke seeds and shake and leaves, and now it's all this sticky bud and everything. Yes, Def Rat guy.
Other day, Moose did a one-hitter.
Right.
Of this one-hit weed, and he got really bunked out, and he had to funnel a bottle of vodka.
Wow, just to even out? Just to even out. But he doesn't have a problem, does he?
He was, after he funneled the bottle of vodka, he said he was still a little paranoid.
All right, I'm getting a contact high now. I'm freaking out. Yes, I'm with Dave Damashek, which is, I love booze and pot so much that I never want to spin out with it, because I never want to get to the point where I realize I have to put it down. And it's that way with almost every evil thing I'm into. I like it so much. That's the reason I don't do it as much as I could, because the second you start waking and baking or bringing a flask to work, it means it's time to stop.
It shouldn't have the same prominence as food.
Right. Although eating them brownies ain't bad. Mm. All right, Mark Maron, everyone. Air America, the Mark Maron Show. 11:50 out here in Los Angeles on the AM dial. 10 o'clock to midnight every night. Thanks for coming in, Mark.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Come back anytime. Def Rat Guy, dispensing some advice. You have questions, you have problems, we have answers in the form of Def Rat Guy, yes?
Hell yeah.
Also, Jeff Probst just walked in. My mom and Dave's mom's going to be on the show. We'll be right back after this.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Peter Griffin, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's about as good as it gets. Almost as good as hot Asian chicks.
This is what a year and a half of junior college sounds like. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Joe Rogan, and you are listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Thank God.
Def Rat Guy in studio.
Dude, I'm not feeling too good.
Well, you say you drank your way through your drunk, but I'm not sure if that works. You were drinking last night at the improv, and then you just kept drinking until you were sober?
I drank myself straight.
Yeah, that's like saying I was on fire and I put myself out with rubbing alcohol.
You know what I mean? Not rubbing alcohol, but like beer, tequila.
Yeah, yeah.
And spiced rum.
Right. Little Captain Morgan's. All I'm saying is I'm not sure if that's mathematically or physiologically possible to stop being drunk by drinking more booze. But anyway, look, I'm not in a fraternity. Those days are behind me.
The proof is in the pudding. You're looking at me. I'm straight.
Okay, buddy. All right, hang on. Now, you got advice to give out. We're trying to do this each Thursday. So if you have problems, call in. Let's first put the moms on the phone. Mom?
Hi.
Hi, is this Mo Damashek?
Hello.
Mo Damashek and Chris?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little nervous.
I know.
Because I never know what to expect from you.
Yes, my mom's nervous. Mom.
I wonder why.
Oh, when have I ever put you on the spot?
Oh, plenty of times.
So
I thought you were just going to call and wish me a happy Mother's Day and tell me you love me. And now I hear there's a contest.
The thought crossed my mind, but I thought that's not good radio. Now, Mom, you're leaving? You're going out of town?
Yeah, we're going to Peru.
Peru.
Wow.
Yeah, we're leaving at 10 o'clock today.
She's going to a place that if Dave Damashek could take Jonathan Chichu to, it would be the greatest day of his life. Where are you going in Peru?
Machu Picchu.
That's right.
Could you? Machu Picchu and Chichu and Temu. Oh, Lord, I hope they have kookaroo.
Oh.
Or Chipotle.
Oh,
beggars can't be choosers.
Could you imagine? You would just die. They'd have to bury you right on top of the mountain. It would just be a plaque. You'd never come down. All right, so, Mom, you're going, and now you're leaving from LAX.
Uh-huh.
What time's your flight?
It's 2 o'clock, but we have to get there 3 hours early.
Wow.
Yeah.
International,
says
baby.
Who?
International.
International, 3 hours early?
Yeah.
Ah, Mom, listen, I'll tell you what you do.
Yeah, you're going to send a limo?
No, but I'll tell you what I'll send a Tad with the station van and some of the Lycats. Here's what you can do.
Okay.
You show up 10 minutes before the flight,
mm-hmm.
holding the lap dog, smelling of booze, and screaming, Adam Carolla's my son, he'll have all your jobs.
Okay.
And you just storm your way right through security.
Yeah, sure.
And when they try to stop you, when they try to slow you down for walking around the metal detector, backhand.
Mm.
Whoever comes you, just
and
like
Mo,
your congressman.
Mo, why don't you try the same thing in any restaurant in Pittsburgh? Dave Damashek is my son. I'll have a table now.
Will that get you a table by the kitchen?
Now, Mom, are you going to take a shuttle to LAX?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flyaway.
We're
taking a flyaway.
You're not going by way of Van Nuys Airport?
Yeah, we are, the flyaway.
Right.
Take a cab to the flyaway.
My mom is the only person I know who goes to a different airport when she leaves town.
I don't get it.
Goes to Van Nuys Airport, but the flight leaves LAX.
Well, but because what? She saves how much money?
I would hope it'd be at least $200.
More like $4.
All right. The game hasn't even begun yet. Mom?
Oh, okay.
Well, wait. Explain the game.
I'm not sure I want to play.
The game is a mom-off. It's to see who is the more knowing, caring mother.
No, that doesn't sound like a good game.
No, that's right. That's not what I meant.
Is there a prize?
No, the prize is the pride you feel when you win a competition.
Fine.
They both seem so interested.
All right. Are you ready, Mom?
I guess. I'm glad I didn't know about this yesterday.
Yes, you would have been a bundle of nerves last night, right? All right. All right. This will be a trivia based one, all right?
Okay. For both of us?
I'm gonna let my mother go first.
Oh, fine.
Mo's the prohibitive favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mom, do you know the name of our black intern on this program?
How would I know that?
All right, that's right. That was unfair. All right. Mo Damashek, do you know?
Yeah. Jaron. Oh, yeah.
You
Jaron.
Do?
Jaron.
Okay, Jaron.
1-0.
All right, I say that's luck, Mom.
That's right.
All right, ready? Yes, it was a gift.
All right, here's a good coin toss. There's an A, B, or C. Representative Richard Martin from the program. He represents what state? California, Ohio, or Nevada?
All right. Listen, you know I don't think well on my feet.
All right.
and besides, I don't know names.
All right.
So she suffers from my disease.
How can you possibly expect me to answer that?
Just pick a letter, A, B, or C.
Doesn't matter.
All right. Mom, yeah, I don't want to get you angry. I know you're going to get mad in a minute.
I know. I thought you were going to call and you know, wish me happy Mother's Day.
Well, I'm going to do that as well.
Love me. And
I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Now, let's get on with the trivia.
Okay. Ask me something I can answer.
Okay. The deaf frat guy suffers from what handicap?
The deaf frat guy?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what that could be.
All right, what would his nickname be at his frat house?
How should I know?
Mo, do you know?
Maverick.
Oh,
well, this is pathetic to me, though.
All right. Listen.
I think it's gone long enough.
Yes.
Mo is definitely one of the contest.
I'm going to enact the slaughter rule.
Chris, obviously you have another life. Hey.
Mrs. C.
Yes, go ahead, deaf rat guy. Sorry.
I want to send this to Mrs. C. I'm kind of bummed out you didn't know my name, but there's a way you can make up for it. Bring me back some of those blue potatoes from Peru.
Yes. His clip is running low in his potato gun, Mom. All right. So, Mom, enjoy Peru. When are you coming back? How long are you going to be gone?
About 10 days.
10 days.
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. You want me to send Big Tad over to water or anything?
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that, but I've got that all covered.
All right. Again, I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
We'll see you the second you get back.
All right.
Have a safe flight.
Give my love to Lynette.
I shall.
Okay. Hey, Mo.
Yeah. And you know what? Those twins may drop while you're gone, Mom.
Well, I hope they stay in there until we get back.
I'll see to it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Are you going to be upset if Mo knows your twins' names and your mother doesn't?
Oh, no. Wait a minute. That's I don't know if I know my twins' names. Should we ask Mo some more trivia?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it just makes me seem really pathetic.
Well, they're both different ends of the pathetic spectrum, but yes. Yes. Let's say the name of our 13-year-old comedian?
Christian. Wait, how did he do last night? I'm in Pittsburgh.
Gangbusters. The show that Ed, as we call him, Ed Miller, reviews from Las Vegas every week.
Desperate Housewives.
Wow. The actor who calls in every Monday to this program, who talks about...
I'll
go home and get your fucking shine box.
Yes, what's his character's name?
The character's name?
Yes.
He's...
I think you just had it, Mother.
Yes.
Phil Leotardo.
Right. Yeah. And the actor's name? And his mother's maiden name. My mother's maiden name.
Oh, this is embarrassing. She doesn't know Frank Vincent? Listen.
Frank Vincent. I said Vincent.
All right, she is like Rain Man.
She really is.
Rainbow.
Mom Man. Last one. Here's a tough one.
Okay.
Drunken Tree mascot. Mm-hmm. What college was the Drunken Tree mascot representing before she represented this show?
All right.
This is amazing.
Sad.
Give me something really.
Hey, Mo, what was the name of what little league team did I play on?
Which you played on a couple, the Giants,
correct?
The Orioles,
correct?
And one wasn't it? The Rockets.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Three for three.
Right, where he played right field, and right field.
Sadly, I never went three for three.
But David stole more bases. He was excellent with his speed.
He cunning.
He never
and grit. The mongoose. All right, Mo Damashek.
And no prize other than David. Okay.
Just the pride.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for playing along.
Your mom's very cute.
Old Mo.
Got a mind like a steel trap, that one.
Amazing. She's from the Steel City.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
All right. We have Jeff Probst waiting in the wings from my favorite show, Survivor. Oh, we're not going anywhere yet, though. We have advice to be dispensed by the Deaf Frat Guy. All right. Are you ready, Deaf Frat Guy?
Hell yeah.
Okay. He's chomping at the bit. Yeah. Right, let's, Neil?
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Deaf Frat Guy?
But yeah, I thought that he could help me figure out what to do with a coworker. This guy Mike unknowingly took his family to Brokeback Mountain when it came out, thinking it was a Western. And he was pretty shocked about the content. But over the last months, he seems to be getting really attracted to one of my coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know quite what to do, and it's getting a little embarrassing. And
So this is so a guy you're working with is now gay. You're realizing.
I don't know if he, you know, how long he's known it, but even if he knows it now, but he certainly is very hands-on.
Okay. What about that? What do you do? What if you found out someone from the frat house was gay? What if, God forbid, Smitty or Moose was gay? How would you handle it?
First of all, I would have to know about this guy. Where was he born?
All right.
I have no idea where he was born.
Right.
Well, where was he reared?
All right, call that. Listen, you doing pun jokes is not sound advice, Deaf Frat Guy.
Here's the thing. I'm reluctant to say get a potato gun.
Right.
Because I'm not worried about the gun itself, but I'm worried about the potatoes and maybe he would stick them up his butt.
Oh, look, you know what? That's a very ugly stereotype that gay men do this. It's like saying you wouldn't give a straight guy a melon with a hole in it because he would hump it.
Well, one time Mike F. had to get his stomach pumped, and he was in the emergency room, and there was a gay guy there, too, that had a light bulb up his butt.
That's urban legend.
It really is. Let's just keep moving. Dan?
Yes?
You have a question for Deaf Rat Guy?
Yeah, thanks. There's a girl that I like who has a boyfriend, and she wants to set me up with her girlfriend, but she and I talk a lot, and I think she might dump her boyfriend. I'm not sure how to handle this because I might end up spending time with both of them.
Mm-hmm. But you like the girl?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do when you two guys like the same girl? How does he steal her away?
What sorority is she in?
Well, she's graduated already, and so she's no longer in a fraternity.
She's not all women, by the way. Single women are in sororities. There's some that aren't. There's like 5% of the population, female population's not in a sorority.
I got two words for you, bro. Atomic wedgie.
You give the guy the wedgie?
Get him out of the picture with an atomic wedgie.
Get him out of the picture, and then try to angle it so you can do a threesome with the girls.
Nice.
Have you done that before, nice Jeff Rat Guy? Threesome?
I think so, but I don't remember.
You're pretty wasted, huh?
You and Moose? And a girl?
I don't want to admit it, but Moose and I were in a threesome with a girl.
Really?
But something happened with Moose that I don't feel comfortable talking about.
Please tell us.
Were you reared?
You can't expect people to come in and bare their souls, and then you come in and play Moose close to the vest.
Physician, heal thyself.
That's what I say.
Moose got really turned on looking at me.
How do you know?
Dude, he had major wood.
Maybe that was for the girl, though. How do you know it was for you? That's what we're saying.
Because his eyes were glued to my ass.
Did you two touch at all, though? You didn't bump into one another or anything?
I was rubbing against his hairy leg, and it really bummed me out.
Are gay.
No sword crossing at all with Moose?
Nah, man, I don't roll that way, bro.
Okay, sorry.
Dude, I'm a teak, not a sig pie ep.
Woo! Tough talk.
Yeah. Jeffrey?
Yes.
Question for Deaf Rat Guy?
Big question, big problem.
Mm-hmm.
I
took that frat guy's advice because I've been listening for a while, and I went to my sporting store that I work at, and my boss fired me. So the next day I went in with a big, rigged, and ready-to-go potato launcher, and I was just about to fire at my boss, and he ran to the glove section, the baseball section, and he was catching all the potatoes and throwing them back at me.
Oh, wow. She looked like a bullpen potato gun catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound like a question. It's more of a statement maybe an homage.
It's a problem.
A condemnation of the advice of the fragile.
Well, how do you overcome that with a potato gun? I would go with a multi-shot load myself, you know what I mean? That's where you go with the tater tot load, for instance. You know, it's more of a shotgun load.
Yeah, your arch nemesis is clever enough to respond to the potato gun.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, I need to know, what kind of hairspray were you using?
It was the one you recommended, Pam.
I didn't recommend Pam. You're putting words in my mouth, bro.
It'd be nice.
I recommended Aquanet.
Pam was to lube that was to lube the barrel.
Oh yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about.
No, that's not the Aquanet is used as the propellant, the accelerant. You lube the barrel with the Pam.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Do you people know anything about potato guns?
I'm the one who's hearing impaired.
That's right.
Dude, if you're gonna take advice, you have to listen.
Right. Yeah.
Good advice from the Deaf Rat Guy.
I'm sorry, Deaf Rat Guy. I know you're a little bit insulted by that. John?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You work at a hospital?
Well, I do radiology billing, so I work in a medical office. But I have the charge sheet right now on April 30th. Had a 72-year-old gentleman come into the hospital and had a couple x-rays done. They found a large light bulb in his sigmoid colon.
Well, touche.
Wow. How many watts? That's the real question, because I could handle a Christmas tree.
Or was it
bulb,
a flood?
But not one of those floods.
Yeah.
Not the exterior bulb.
Yeah, the exact wording, it says a large light bulb, horizontal position, there is no fracture. 72-year-old man.
Wow.
No.
Just imagine that 911 call, eh?
I'll tell you. Look, they talk about 72 years young, but this guy means it. You know what I mean? I mean, that is young thinking right there. To me, you had a really bad idea. Oh, light bulb in the butt. Sorry. We're getting beefed out. You know, when you have a good idea, you get the one over your head. Bad idea, right up the tukai. Well, thank you for straightening that out, John. All right. Deaf Rat Guy.
Sometimes, this may be an urban legend, but there was a story about a dude that did a beer enema.
Hey, by the way, Deaf Rat Guy had some T-shirts at the show last night. Again, he's going to be selling them. Do you have a place to go to get them? Our website, adamcarolla.com.
There's also deaffratguy.com.
Oh,
it's not up and running yet.
I see. Well, but I think that's ambitious of you, you know, that you have learned something in school. We're concerned that you don't learn anything, but obviously you did. You're industrious, and now you're trying to make a little buck so you go out into the world, huh?
You know what I find ambitious? We're 10 minutes late for break, and you're talking to Deaf Rat Guy about selling his T-shirts. That, I find, the height of ambition, damn it, Shaq.
I'll keep quiet.
All right, please. Deaf Rat Guy, plug your website, and then we got to bring the great Jeff Probst in.
It's not up on the air yet, but it will be DeafRatGuy.com. It will have advice, photos, maybe a blog.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Thank you again for your timely advice.
It's all good.
Jeff Probst from my favorite show, Survivor, coming in here next.
AdamCarolla.com. It's so much better than internet porn. This is Republican Representative Richard Martin, and you're listening to the devil-loving Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM. And then go pray.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Jeff Probst, and you are listening to the greatest radio and television personality of all time. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, so kind.
Well, I mean it, you know? I do.
You don't have a care in the world, do you?
Not when I'm around you. No, because I know I'm protected.
We're not playing Ask Us Rodeo yet, Jeff. Okay.
But we do see the skills that gave him the that has him with the belt, the celebrity Ask Us Rodeo belt.
Well, let me explain what happens with a lot of what happened with a lot of past Ask Us Rodeo champions. Just like boxing champions, they get with the ladies, they start boozing, the good life catches up to them, they get fat, they get out of shape, they're never ready to go on a few weeks' notice. Jeff Probst always training at altitude, always at camp.
It's true.
Never stops.
It's true.
Always ready to take a fight on short notice.
I had to change, you know, I used to listen to you late at night. I had to change my whole schedule, my sleeping routine and sure. everything. And I got to say, again, I'm a better person because of it. I never would have done it otherwise.
Well.
He is good, man.
Let me deflect some of that.
Oh, my God, already?
Let me deflect some of that praise okay. right back at you. Survivor, again, first off, the only show that I've dedicated a dance to, the Survivor dance.
And, you know, and I'm this may sound like I'm kissing your ass, but I now have a Sopranos dance, and I do, and it truly was inspired by you having a Survivor dance, and now I cannot watch the Sopranos unless Julie is there because I have to do the when you got a gun thing, I got my own dance.
Well, Survivor, mercifully, has shortened their opening. It used to go on. They have a long opening and a short opening. I believe last week was a long opening, and I didn't stretch. I wasn't prepared. I was used to the abridged one where it's real quick. I end by going down on one knee and blowing into the conch. Ooh! At the end, my wife critiques me from the sofa, explaining she saw that move last week. She saw that move from
nice.
Season 3. Yeah, but not in a good way, though.
I was just about to say, it'd be great to have a dance-off between the two of you.
Well, I have to say mine is private only for my woman because it does involve disrobing for her, and so I would do that in front of no one except her.
Such a passionate man. You're a man of extreme passion, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
But you love life. That's what I love about you.
I do. You know what I did the other day? I was talking with my buddy Lopez on the phone, and I said, you know, how much more time do we have? And so I got on my little calculator thing on my computer, and say I got another 40 years, 360. I got like 15,000 days left.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it that way, today is a day. I'm going to choose what I'm going to do today.
Right.
If it means just watch Sopranos all day, that's fine as long as I'm choosing to do that.
Right. 15,000 more days.
That sounds like a lot.
If the seaplane doesn't hit the volcano
exactly.
on the next
yeah.
Survivor episode.
Yeah, if
though.
Cancer doesn't invade my colon. Yeah, all sorts of things.
Not to mention light bulbs. All right. Now, let's see. Danielle's left. Siri's left. Eris is left. And Terry. Now, Terry. I watch the show religiously. I can't get enough of Survivor. But Terry is great because he was from the other camp. And he's outnumbered, but now he wins every immunity challenge, and they can't get rid of the guy. He's a Navy fighter pilot, and it really makes you realize the mental toughness of these
yeah.
guys to go through the survival training they have to do and all the stress that's put on them. He just has the edge on everybody, and he beats people that are younger and maybe physically stronger than he is, but he can't be beat.
And the thing I like about Terry is he tried to make deals with a lot of people, and everybody said, you know, forget it. And he said, all right, I'm going to just have to keep beating you then.
Yeah.
And that's a big, bold statement to make, and he's mm-hmm. been backing it up.
Yeah. It is, I'll tell you, I can't get enough of the
program.
What do
you think of Suri? Here's a woman who should have never been on this show. When
yes.
we met her, she came into casting. She couldn't stop shaking. She was just so excited to be in Los Angeles. And we thought, you know what? There's something about her that's worth taking a chance. Here she is in the Final Four.
I'll tell you what's about her. Her double D's that pop out every time. Probst just walks in holding the immunity idol, and one boob will pop out.
Oh,
boobs just flying everywhere. It's one. I don't even know what she looks like. She's just tiled out the entire time. She's one huge undulating boob mass.
Yeah, yes. she's big woman, and it's a hard game to play in a bathing suit. You know, when your body's like that.
It is, and she's a delight, and I love her. She's a woman of a heavy set woman of color who doesn't. She's obviously never been out of her living room,
never.
And yet is taking on challenges that
and
I'm
masterminding
sure she's
a lot yeah. of ousters of people.
Yeah, so it's the big the show's this Thursday. Obviously, it's tonight, and then the big finale Sunday. day.
Right.
Now, you'll not be doing any crazy things with jet skis or helicopters.
No, we've temporarily run out of ideas that are attainable and producible.
Well, I know there's a handful of naysayers that say that's too theatrical, but I always enjoyed it.
You know what amazed me is how many people took it seriously. We jet ski in from the Amazon, and I would have people say, just so we're clear, there's no way in hell you did that.
Poor Jeff would get emails saying, a jet ski holds 5 liters of gasoline. The Amazon is 2,800 nautical miles from the shores of North America. That jet ski, even with prevailing winds, could not make it. I'm like, I know. He didn't ride the jet. And they cut when he left the Amazon, yes. And then he pulled into New York Harbor. He didn't actually ride. No one thinks that. Do they really think that?
But I'll tell you, New York Harbor, that was the coldest I've ever been in my life. That water is freezing. And we were in there for like 8 hours shooting this jet ski stuff.
Well, I say you go
exactly.
Big again.
Yeah.
All right. We need to take ourselves a little break. We're going to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with the defending champion, Jeff Probst. But here's what we talked about yesterday. Your belt buckle's not on the line.
Okay.
This is a exhibition match for you.
Thank you.
You're competing against yourself.
I'm relaxed then. Oh. I have no pressure.
Yeah, you hold.
This is like Billie Jean and what's his name?
When that Bobby Riggs.
Bobby Riggs. Okay.
That's right.
Doesn't matter who wins. We're just enjoying it.
That's right. We're here to have fun. Remember, only 15,000 more days before you hit the ground, Probst. You got to live every one of them like it was your last. Now go get me a coffee.
I'll be right back.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
If you keep listening, he'll keep talking. The Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla Show, boy. This is the Drunk Tree mascot. What do you want me to read this? Adam Carolla Show, you're listening
to
it.
You
may call 866-901-ADAM. I think I'm going to puke.
A million opinions. And only one eyebrow. The Adam Carolla Show.
Jeff Probst is here from Survivor.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo! Love your hat, Adam, by the way. It's a great hat.
I feel like I need to lose weight. I feel heavy.
You?
Bloated.
Wow. You look lean as a machine.
I love sushi.
Sushi is maybe the best meal out there, unless there's something I haven't tried.
I hate sushi.
And then there are times when sushi goes through you and you think, why'd I just eat it?
I've heard enough. He's the new celebrity. Where's the new celebrity belt? Jeff Probst, everybody. My favorite and my favorite TV show. And again, 15,000 short days. Before he hits the grave, so let's make this segment count, huh, buddy?
Yes. I always share with you. I don't know what it is, but we're always talking about love, or we're talking about life, or...
Well, that's us, you know?
You bring it out of it. Out
yes.
Of us all.
If I may, yes. I have to tell you, on the break, I've fallen in love. Jeff is the greatest guy. Such a celeb, and so cool, and so unpretentious.
And so handsome.
Yeah,
and so comfortable in his own skin.
Yes.
I'm getting there.
You sicken me.
His girlfriend's very, very lucky.
Oh, she would give you a couple of reasons to argue that point.
Well, you spending 2-3 hours every morning in front of a full-length mirror
and
a full-oiled pose down probably gets annoying.
You don't get this way just waking up.
That's
you know?
True.
And you stole her. You stole her from the island. You met. It's Julie, one of the contestants from Survivor. It's like a teacher making time. Was one
best,
of the
best thing that ever happened to me on that show is me and her. Seriously. Yeah. It's the best thing.
How long have you been
awesome
together
woman.
Now? A while now,
2 years.
Wow.
I tell you, every season I fall in love with somebody. I guess it's Danielle.
Really?
As I should say this year. I find her attractive, but I don't find her personality attractive, but physically she looks good
I'd
in
like
her bathing
to say,
suit.
I'm glad we're not playing Ask Kiss Rodeo, because I could go there and make you feel good about it, but I'd be
not lying. Into her.
No.
But physically, she looks pretty good, doesn't she?
Not my style.
But maybe you've seen so much sewage pour from her mouth that it has just turned you. It's like
maybe
working in a
it.
Hot dog factory.
You're right. Who
you
knows what
like
influences you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
All right. So, anyway, Jeff Probst in studio. Survivor tonight, 8 o'clock, and then the big season finale, CBS Sunday. I will be watching and doing a dance dedicated to both nights tonight and Sunday night. We're going to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with Jeff. Again, he holds the belt. He's not putting the belt up for grabs here. This is merely an exhibition.
It's like Tiger Woods. He has the course record already. Okay. Now he's just going to see if he can lower that score even more.
That's right.
All for fun.
That's right. All right. Are you ready to begin, Jeff?
Yeah, before we start, I would just like to say there are three things that I respect in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Love, family, and you, Adam Carolla. And it's a pleasure to be in your presence again.
Thank you.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Tom Cruise, I think the guy's nuts. I think he's a weirdo.
Well, and that's why you must always have a radio show, because it is your wisdom and your insight into popular culture that not only does America need to hear, Adam, but the planet needs to enjoy.
Thank you. Actually, I did see Mission Impossible 3, and I quite enjoyed it. I thought his work was stellar.
And I got to say, and this sounds so flattering because I mean it that way, that you're insight into your own intuition about when to switch directions, even when it means going from north to south, is awe-inspiring, because you are not afraid to speak your truth.
Thank you. Survivor. I am a huge fan of Survivor.
Well, I got to say, the mere fact that you said that, I think you're going to see the trend growing with people getting back on board to really loving this. In fact, what a responsibility you have to know that there are people probably on Wall Street saying we should take this, you know, this company public because of your influence.
I'm not talking about Survivor, the TV show. I'm talking about the 80s band, Survivor. Singer Vi the Tiger. Love him.
And again, my ability to be a student to your mentor was just exemplified right there, that I get ahead of it. Your voice is true, and I'm listening. And if I get caught with my pants down, Adam, that's a reminder to me that I am a disciple, and I will always be humbled
by
you.
Thank you. Get a Luba light bulb just in case his pants come down, Brusca. I look best in red. That's what people tell me.
Man, I got to say that I haven't seen a color you don't look good in.
Oh, nice. Nice. I think we'll end it there. I mean, you don't get any better than that.
10 for 10, was that?
Tartan, I would look good in. Yeah, that was nice.
Exceptional work.
Thank you.
Well done.
No matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius.
I don't want to. Going into this, I didn't want to give you any sort of pressure, but the fact is, had you sucked it up, there would have been a lot of talk. No one would have claimed your belt from you, but there would have been a lot of talk. Maybe he didn't earn it. Maybe he got lucky. Maybe he took the roundhouse and just one time, got the lucky punch.
Right.
No.
Buster
champion.
Douglas,
yes,
sort of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Justin?
Yeah.
You have something to say?
I think I can take down this punk and ask his rodeo.
Bring it on.
Wow.
You big B.
Yeah. tough talk. Yeah. But can you back it up?
From a guy in Tulsa.
I have years of Askus. I Askus to my boss all the time, and Askus to my wife. And
all right.
Yeah, all right, you want to go?
Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo!
I hope Bonds breaks Ruth's record.
Saying that, I'm the only reason to back it up, because you said it. You're the man.
Oh, no.
Forget
boy.
It.
No.
Bushley.
You're the man?
Bushley, you're the man. By the way, yeah, I mean, that is the equivalent to tapping out in Askus Rodeo when you throw a you demand in. You've essentially thrown, that's the towel coming in from the corner. You've tapped out. The fight's over.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry we even had to insult you with that, Jeff.
That's the problem with hype. You know, you got to investigate to see if there's anything there. Guys can hype himself and say, oh, I'm so good, you won't believe it. He's got nothing.
Right.
Yeah. He could talk the talk, but he couldn't talk the talk.
Well, I think safe to say his mouth was writing checks. His ass couldn't cash. I like when they do that in the movies every once in a while. All right, Jeff, thank you very much for coming in and, again, showing us why you're the celebrity champion in Askus Rodeo.
Thanks for having me in. As always, a pleasure. Seriously.
All right. Remember, only 15,000 days for 14 hours
God,
and 26
I'm gonna
minutes
that, aren't I?
Left on your dance card, buddy. Let's start living it up. And look, let's start hanging out, Jeff. I'll show you the Survivor dance
in the
privacy
thing.
Of your own home.
Yes. Last time I was on with Carolla on his show, his talk show, he said, hey, you know what? You had to come over and hang out. And I thought, Adam's actually a nice guy. I'd like to hang out. I give him my phone number. Have I heard from him?
Exactly.
No, it's one of those celebrity, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this is it. I swear, give me your phone number. I don't know what the hell I did with it. But the point is I'm calling you, and we're hanging out, my brother.
Okay.
I will heap praise on you, the likes you've never seen before.
You, Probst, and Leno.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, we have the current Ass Kiss Rodeo champ, Zach, calling in from Vegas. Uh-oh. Jeff? I mean, Zach?
Yes, sir, Mr. Carolla. How are you this morning?
I got to tell you, this may be the Clubber Lang to your Rocky Balboa. This guy trains alone. He trains hard, but he's hungry.
This is like when Hulk Hogan squared off with Andre the Giant. My head's spinning.
It's right. A SmackDown.
He's the people's champ. He claimed the crown in Vegas.
Here's the deal. Let me hear what he's got, and then I think we should do some sort of event.
All right, let's let Sounds him good. Do. Fair's fair. Mm-hmm. Let's have Zach do a little exhibition here. Mm-hmm. You size him up, and then at
we'll
a later
back,
date,
yeah.
We'll get Zach in, okay. Probst in, head-to-head.
All right, Zach. Again, this is just a charity round. We're just doing it just to knock the dust off your ass kiss muscles. But if you can hold a flame, nay, the survivor torch, to Jeff Probst, we'll bring you in, and you two, Goliaths can square off head to head. You ready?
Mr. Carolla, it's just an absolute pleasure again just for me to hear the sound of your voice live.
Nice. Listen.
He's good, Probst.
Yeah, he is.
Here we go. You ready to begin?
Absolutely, sir.
CDs are nice, but I prefer the old vinyl records.
Coming from you, I think CDs should be banned. Everything should be printed on vinyl, and your name should be in the middle so that everyone can see you every time they think about vinyl. The name Adam Carolla should come to mind.
Come to think of it, they're too big and they melt when you leave them in your car. I'd rather have it on a CD format.
And that's the reason that vinyl's no longer around, because if Adam Carolla does not think it's a good idea, the whole industry goes that way, because you are an innovator of technology, and that's why people follow you, Adam.
I like reality shows. That's my favorite viewing.
I totally agree with you, Adam. If you had a reality show, it'd be the number one best show. Just you sitting on a couch, drinking a beer with a hammer in your hand would pull every single ratings number.
I say they're overrated. I miss a good sitcom.
The only sitcom worth watching is one with Adam Carolla in it, because that's the only way that I'm even watching TV. I ban TV until you come back out with some kind of sitcom.
Okay, yeah. Zach, he's good.
I'm gonna have to get a trainer. That he's got some real skill.
You're gonna have to do like in Rocky IV. When Drago was, he was training with the high-tech stuff, and Rocky just went to Russia, to the gulag, and he just ran up mountainsides and stuff. That's what you're going to have to do, Probst.
To go to Russia?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. We're going to have to, this is going to be on pay-per-view. This is going to be gigantic.
This is
a Titanic clash.
All right, we'll hook it up between Zach and Jeff Probst. Jeff, we're hanging out now.
Okay.
That's it. It's on. Remember, 15,000 precious days left. Survivor, tonight. I will be watching 8 o'clock and then the big finale Sunday night. I have not missed one yet. 8 o'clock, CBS. Don't miss either one of them. Jeff Probst, thank you very much. We'll be right back with news. What do we have to look forward to with that, by the way?
In the Metro Minute, we have some exciting news, actually, an update about AI's Chris Daughtry. You're definitely going to want to hang out for this one.
Mm. Speaking of Ass Kiss, ran into him at the halls of CBS about 3-4 weeks ago, and he's a fan.
Daughtry.
So maybe we can, maybe we'll get him on the show before too long, probably about this time next year. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with news and sports after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. This is what a year and a half of junior college sounds like.
Hey, this is Vinny Pastore. You know me as Big Pussy from The Sopranos. I'm dead and I'm hanging out with my boy Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla, you could call him at, what could we call him at? We could call him at 1-866-901-ADAM. You could fix that, right?
Come on, man, really?
Hey, forget about it.
A million opinions and only one eyebrow. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 23, from The Wizard of Oz.
There is no place like home.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
He's at my house right now, by the way. Doing a little installation job.
Oh.
Yeah, it's probably... probably on top of my wife, and now he's going to go on top of him, get into the DVDs. All right. We got $1,000 to give away, and we're trying to figure out how to give it away. We're going to give it away tomorrow. And we thought, well, what could we do? And it just dawned on me that Mo Damashek, Dave's mom, and dad, really. Mom is not enough title for her. She's mom and dad, really. Because your dad's half a dad, and she's one and a half moms.
No, believe me, the old man is seated right next to old Mo, listening to the show 4 hours a day, believe me. And sometimes, actually, as a matter of fact, one will leave the house for something. They have an appointment or something, and the other one will repeat verbatim what they missed.
Oh, that is sickening. Meanwhile, my mother is going to Van Nuys Airport to take a flight out of Los Angeles International Airport.
I like the direct route.
Do you understand that? How many people do you know go to another airport? You're leaving town. Imagine you're in New York. You're leaving JFK, but you head to LaGuardia. Does anyone ever break that one down?
It's very strange.
Well, there's money to be saved, namely $4.
Well, your mother was bested in a game of trivia about the show by Mo Damashek about an hour ago. It was exhilarating. So exhilarating, in fact, that perhaps we could pit a caller who fancies himself and is an expert on The Adam Carolla Show against Mo Damashek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How say you?
That's what we'll do for the $1,000. You think you can meet or beat Dave's mom, Mo, in a little Adam Carolla morning radio trivia? We'll give you $1,000 tomorrow. So those only experts need apply.
Right.
Because obviously.
If you heard the last hour, I mean, yeah. Amateur hour's over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mo Damashek was, I think, 6 for 6 in the questions.
And would have kept going. All right. So if you're smart, you know trivia, and you think you can beat a postmenopausal woman from Beaver Creek, then you call in the show. All right. Now it is time for the news with Tracy Metro.
In the Metro Minute, we're going to start off with Tom Hanks, some info about him. Tom Hanks has actually been recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records for being the actor with the most consecutive movies that have grossed more than $100 million at the box office.
How many movies are there? And by the way, move over, see Thomas Howell, because you've been usurped by Tom Hanks. Yes, how many movies do you know?
Yeah, I do. Would you like to know the movies?
No, Wiseacre. No.
Hey, now.
Let's go.
Saving Private Ryan. Why don't you guess?
How many in a row? I'm going to go with 7.
And I just gave you 1.
I'm going 7.
I told you. Did
we
I tell
did
you?
Not.
You're right.
Is it 7?
Yes.
Just
I think.
Random. I remember, you know, Bonfires of the Vanity didn't do very well
not
at
so
some
much.
Point. But all right. And also in the Guinness Book for weirdest hair on a white guy.
Excuse
really
me.
Looks like Al Sharpton now. Thank you.
Alrighty, so there we go. So that's that. I think it was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And at the country's finest deaf university, Gallaudet, students are protesting the appointment of the school's new president, a Ms. Jane Fernandez, because they claim she's not deaf enough. She's only hearing impaired and only learned sign language when she was 23 years old. They are pissed.
It's really weird, the deaf community. It's strange. They freak out when people get the implants so they can have hearing again. It's like they liken it to painting a black guy white.
Yeah.
I mean, they look at it, you've lost your culture. How dare you turn your back on the deaf community by hearing...
Yeah.
I don't think blind people have that, by the way. If you're blind...
And you get your sight.
You get your sight back. Are all the blind people PO'd at you?
Not so much like the deaf people are,
She's hearing impaired, and she learned sign language, I should say. She learned to read lips at a time when they did that. That's how they used to do it, and now they do the sign language, and they look at her as an outsider, even though she reads sign, and she reads lips, and she's hearing impaired. Get over it, deafies! I know, they're not going to write any letters. What are they doing, listening? Another thing that's funny, though, is when they have the rallies at the deaf campus. It's the greatest rally ever.
It just, quiet.
Sounds like a... It's just a tree in the forest.
Remind me, at some point, I will share with you the story of when my high school basketball team played the Pittsburgh School of the Deaf. It's a fantastic yarn. I'll not do it now.
How many points did you score?
Don't worry about how many points
how
I scored,
many?
You creep.
How many?
Oh.
Zero?
Oh.
That would be zero.
That would be zero.
And in
That's
other...
That's not the point of the story.
Held in check by someone using a tin horn. So sad.
Oh, congratulations. You just got a lot of laughs. So.
In other entertainment news, Tom Cruise's bizarre behaviors, such as the infamous scene of him jumping on Oprah's couch, they may have cost him at the box office. Because in the first 3 days of Mission Impossible 3's release, the film grossed a paltry $47.7 million, which was well short of the $60 to $70 million that they had expected.
Yeah. But it made $70 million worldwide.
Yes, but it cost $150 million to produce.
Right. I think they're doing all right. Those kids will land on their feet. I might have to give Tommy a little loan, just a floater, what I call floater loan. Something I call wham, walking around money, just to sort of keep him and his lady pal going.
And the new baby.
Keep the kid in Pampers for a few weeks, but he'll do another movie. He'll get back on his feet.
The movie that you claim is the one you're most excited to see this summer, Poseidon.
Poseidon.
Is not receiving good reviews so far.
Don't
by the way.
Care. It's the ocean in a rogue wave.
Wow.
Turning over a cruise liner.
It looks like a knockoff of Titanic, but I'll tell you this much. Going in, I don't care what happens in the picture. As long as you don't have a scene at the end of the picture, like when the old lady in Titanic has the most valuable jewel on the face of the earth, and she throws it into the ocean. Her granddaughter has taken care of her for the last 20 years. She's ruined her life. She has no man in her life. Why? Because she's taking care of the 100-year-old lady. And how does the 100-year-old lady repair? By giving her a multi-million-dollar jewel? No, she throws it into the water. Creep.
I do envy the deaf sometime, though, I must say. Speaking of our first story. What was that? I'm sorry.
I know I'm so compelling. We were talking about Tom Hanks initially, but we're going to talk about Idol News. Quite the upset when rocker dude Chris Daughtry was voted off the island last night. Now, many people thought that he would be the last man standing, and clearly audiences were pissed when he was eliminated. Have a listen.
A lot of people predicted, Chris, that you could be the next American Idol. Chris, you are going home tonight. The journey ends.
It was so funny because if you could have looked at his face, he was ready to make a comment. Like, a lot of people predict you could have been the next you're going to be the next American Idol. And he's like, well, you know, a lot of people might be right. You're going home. His face went from crazy novelty grin to just stunned.
Like, what? Well, I got more news. Like, seriously, breaking news. Now, I told you earlier in the show that Big Tad signed not one, but two petitions last night for a recount.
Well, like I said, once you're over 300 pounds, you get two petitions. Two airline seats, two petitions. That's what I say. That's what I say for Big Tad.
So here's the exciting news. I'm so excited to be breaking this. Have heart. I know. I'm like busting out of my seat. Have heart, Daughtry fans, because tonight on the television show Extra, Chris will be offered the position of our position as front man for a band. But according to Big Tad, we have some rumored information who the band is.
Oh, Great White?
No.
I mean, the Great Whites?
Thank you.
Sorry.
The rumored band, again,
Pearl Jam.
Big props to Big Tad, is Fuel. How you like them apples? Wow, the applause are deafening.
Talk about them. Hold on, I'm reeling from that bomb that was dropped.
We broke it right here on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I can see the media gathering in the hall.
They're clamoring.
Yeah, well, we're all wearing our Fuel t-shirts, so.
Well, all I guess that's it. Wow, what a lame ending. But that, my friends, is the Metro Minute.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Why is Tad so pleased with himself that he unearthed that gem? Who cares?
He wanted props so badly, too. He's
out there dancing around, angry that we're not making more out of this.
I know. All right, Tad.
High-fiving Jerron.
Yeah. All right.
Victory dance for I'm not sure what. Anyway, tell you who's doing a victory dance. The L.A. Clippers. They went into the Valley of the Sun last night, down 1-0 in their series against Steve Nash and the mighty Phoenix Suns. What happened? Elton Brand and his pals took the pipe to him.
Yeah.
122-97. And who said that the Clippers would win big last night?
Not Dave Damashek. Oh, Dave Damashek.
Did I say it on the air? No. Did I bet on it? No. Am I still proud of the pick? Get off my back.
Wow. Tough talk.
National pastime. Well, it's time again to check the good news and the bad news. Every day, there's some of both. The good news is, if you hear your name called here, like Rod Roddy calling out your name, you're in the audience at Price is Right. Barker's awaiting some people. Who are the lucky names? If you hear your team's name here, San Diego Padres, come on down.
Winners last night.
Arizona Snakes, come on down. L.A. Dodgers, come on down.
Woo! 500, everybody.
500. 17
and 17.
17 down.
That's why every game counts.
Now, here's the ugly side of it. The bad news.
What's that?
If you hear your name called here, I'm going to need to talk to you after class. Everybody else can take off. Hey, Mariners, I'm going to have to talk to you. Can you hang back? Athletics, you too. Giants, especially Barry the Creep Bonds. Yeah. Detention. Stick with it.
Close the door behind you.
Keep your nose to the grindstone. I think if you just apply yourself, I think the talent's there.
Yeah.
I just think you're too busy fooling around and talking to girls and making spitballs.
You're playing grab ass and making time with the ladies.
Exactly. Stanley Cup playoffs. Sharks with a chance to go up 3-0 in their series last night. They were up in Edmonton, which would bring us to the edge, the very edge of a Ducks-Sharks Campbell Conference Final, which more importantly, of course, means Chichu v. Tamu.
Yes.
Something that everyone in the nation has been clamoring
Someone
for.
Someone ought to write a song about it, I got to tell you right now. You just... Not this song. Someone ought to write another song about
Chichu.
It.
Chichu.
This is very catchy.
Yeah, but someone needs to write a song that has Chichu and Tamu in it.
I have already crafted that song. It's already with a bullet to number one, but I've already begun. I'm not going to rest on my laurels. I've already begun crafting the next song.
Couldn't you take a little time off?
No, sir, I cannot.
Do we have that other song?
I can dig it up for you.
Yeah, dig it up, please.
Really?
I do. I kind of miss it.
All right. Here we go.
I like that song.
Well, first of all, let me say this. First, let me just say, what happened last night was the game went to overtime. I was on the edge of my seat. I was hoping to see the Sharks win, go up 3-0 just as the Ducks are. Unfortunately, it went into a third overtime and then this.
Ryan Smith gets it again in the internet. Wrap around. Hookup. Score! The Oilers win the hockey game. 3-2.
They have to go nuts. You know, I don't watch any sports where they go nuts where they score because that means they score every fifth game.
Exactly.
They
do
it in soccer. There's no more boring sport than soccer. No greater celebration. Then in football, they don't do that. Baseball, when they hit home runs, even slam dunks and think basketball, it's nothing. It's just, he pulls up from three, drains the three. Now it's back on the outlet. They don't make anything. If you make the bigger they make about it, bad.
I agree. What, bad?
Yeah, bad sport. It means the sport's bad.
You're crazy. The Stanley Cup playoffs, you know what
it's like? It's like when a chick talks about her boobs too much. Means huge ass. I lose interest.
I
lose interest.
Let me just say this before Brusk over there with his signs to wrap up and everything else. Listen, the people in Edmonton, the 17,000, enjoyed themselves. But stop being so selfish. Think about the big picture. What we all want. Chichu, Tamu for the Stanley Cup. Chichu, Tamu. Chichu and Tamu.
Now,
that's the way it should be.
You had a professional come in and sing this song?
Oh, no, from the heart. Chichu.
Is that a band, Tamu, from the heart? Sounds like a pro.
Thank
Play
you.
It together. This is you?
That's right, sir.
Wow.
Play hockey.
Passion.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we got $1,000 to give away. People think they can beat Mo Damashek in a trivia contest about the Adam Carolla Show. I doubt it highly. Brandon?
Yeah, Ace Man.
You think you know Ace Carolla trivia?
Oh, yeah. Day one, my man.
Christian, our 13-year-old comedian?
Yes.
Where's he from? Where did him and his family come from to do comedy last night?
That would be the hellhole that is Fresno.
Well
done.
A little bit of commentary,
good.
Too.
That's a good one. I'm going to put you on hold because that means you know something. Mm-hmm. It's good. I'm sure my mom would have got that. Neil?
Yeah?
You want to play a little trivia?
Love to.
I'm trying to think. I have a
your
card
mom,
here with some easy
Ace,
stuff on it.
I don't think your mother would get that considering she called you Andy.
You guys got anything good? The name. Oh, this one's tough. This one's tough. The name of the show's booker, the guy who does all the booking on the show.
Mike August.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
Mo could be in trouble.
Yeah. You want to try one more? You want to try one more?
Sure.
All right. Let's try another one. David.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, see, you're from Oregon, huh?
Yeah.
You think you know the show?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyone got any?
I'll go with one.
I'm out of it. You got one, Brian? Yes.
Name, if you can, three of our four interns.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Bonus points for all four, obviously.
Yeah. I think I could only do two, and that's because I humped them.
Big Cat, isn't he one of them?
He's sort of lower than an intern, really. It's unfair to the intern. It's a slap in the face to the interns to call Big Cat an intern.
He's so pissed, he's shaking his head.
Hey.
Damn.
Brisket, break the tranquilizer gun out. Big Cat's on a roll. All right. What do you got?
Yeah, is there a girl named Angie that's one of your interns?
No, that's producer. I'm sorry, you could have come up with your
own. Wasn't that hard? Ask another caller that one.
Yeah, I think.
Sorry.
All right, not bad. I'll try. Let's see. Want to try one more? Try Steve. Steve.
Yeah, what's up?
Three interns from the program.
All right, Jerron.
Mm-hmm.
Phone screener Brian, does he count?
He's phone screener.
He's phone screener Brian, and the guy just pushed that button, by the way. There he is. Cash money, we call him over here. He's paid a little. He seems like an intern. Yeah. You want to try another one? Give me one more.
Well, does Big Cat count? I counted for the last guy. So it's got to count for me, right?
He's already mentioned. Already mentioned. Let's see if we can come up with one more piece of trivia for you. I have one. Good. Brisket. Okay. Our lesbian producer, Bruska, right. Known as Brisket.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
What? Please, Brisket. What part of his body is he known for having a tremendous set of? Body part.
I'm going to say the breast area.
More specifically?
Cup size?
Nipples?
Areola. We'll take that. Yeah. We'll take that. It is in the areola family.
Here's a more straightforward one. Where is Bruska from?
Where is he from?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Stupid Berg.
He shot you a look, Corolla.
He's going to shoot me some milk in a second, too. All right, look, I don't even know where Brusca's from. He's not from here, that's all I know, and he needs
you
to go back.
Know where he's from?
He needs to go back, that's all I know.
I'm leaving.
Ohio.
Sorry.
Sounds like Ohio.
He just said Brooklyn. You weren't even listening.
You weren't listening. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're not a worthy competitor. We have two people that are pretty strong.
What do we need more than that for?
All right, that's true. We have Mo Damashek, and we have two competitors.
This makes Mo's odds better if we only have two competitors.
Good point. All right. Tom Wilson, comedian Tom Wilson's coming in here. You know him as Biff from Back to the Future.
He killed it at the Hollywood Improv last night,
yes,
too.
He was great last night performing. He has brought his acoustic guitar with him, so he's going to entertain us with a song. We'll talk to him after this.
What's Michael J. Fox like? He's nice. What's Christopher Lloyd like? He's kind of quiet. What's Crispin Glover like? Unusual. Stop asking me the question. Can we take your picture? Come on, look mean. Would you call my friend a butthead on his answering machine?
Don't go anywhere, because you're going to have more fun here. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
You got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it wasn't due till Monday.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think, McFly.
Think.
I gotta have time to recopy it. You realize what would happen if I hand in my homework in your handwriting? I'd get kicked out of school. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Would you?
Well, now, of course, not.
No, I wouldn't want that to happen.
You can play the whole movie?
Yeah, I'd love to listen to the whole thing.
I'm kind of enjoying it.
I can act it out.
But really.
Fascinating.
By the third act, I figure it's time just to bring on Tom Wilson, as you might have guessed.
Thank you. Please sit down.
Back to the Future. Tom was on the show a few weeks back, and we were so impressed with his guitar work that we decided to have him back. Also, he was on the bill last night at the Improv for the Adam Carolla Comedy Show.
Dynamite.
Man, it was always a dream of mine to actually open for a 13-year-old kid who never did comedy before. That's good. I'm his opener.
Yeah, you got to pinch yourself.
Man, magical.
You've made it.
Magical night to stand next to the kid going,
do I stand up there with the microphone?
Yeah, that's where you stand, kid. Okay.
Tom, I guess you, I'm guessing you brought your guitar and belted one out up there as well. You brought your
guitar. You're guessing, because you split.
I split.
But you brought, I'm guessing that you didn't just bring the guitar as a good luck charm.
You brought it, no, not just to do the El Kabong on Damashek.
Yeah, how do you think I felt, Tom? Carolla, as the show starts, like, yeah, a little business I got to tend to here. My wife's pregnant, doesn't feel well. I'm going to scram. Damashek will MC the rest of the night. What do I got to do it?
Welcome to the show, Start My Car.
Right.
I'm gone.
So, Tom.
But it was magical.
How, by the way, I saw Michael J. Fox get interviewed on one of those entertainment shows last night. Seems like he's doing okay. Do you ever stay in touch with him? Have you spoken to him since the Parkinson's thing has kicked in? You guys are not tight.
No, he's a great guy. Michael's a great guy. He lives most of the time in New York City, so I don't get to see him a lot, but I do get to see him occasionally. Mm-hmm. Always good to see him. They had a big, you know, like Back to the Future reunion thing, bringing everybody back for the DVD sale. I didn't show up for that, so
why not?
I missed meeting everybody. Exactly.
They ever talk about doing a fourth one, or is it a fifth one?
They talk
three,
about it,
right?
Yeah, they talk about it, and then they look at the face I make, and then they say, "No, we don't have to do one." No, we don't have to, Tom. I mean, you wouldn't have to be in it. I mean, we're just saying Judge Reinhold could be Biff, whatever, you know. We could recast, okay. No, they talk about a fourth one. What will probably happen? They'll do a fourth one in, you know, 2017, and they'll ask me, would you like to be the newspaper man? Who just says, here's your paper, you know, Biff, new Biff, younger Biff.
There's always a younger, better-looking Biff.
And I'll go, no, you guys go ahead. You guys go ahead and do it with some of those American Idol kids, and everything will work out fine.
Well, the good news is you're not bitter.
I'm not bitter at all, man. Hey, man, it was fun.
Do you, speaking of fun, did you bring your guitar with you
today? I didn't bring my guitar, yeah.
You have a song about your daughter?
Well, yeah, here's the thing. I know you're having twins, right?
Yes.
I have no respect at all because I have four kids,
wow.
All right? I have four. That's a family. Mm-hmm. Not the two, because with two, you're going to go like, I got this one, you got that one with the wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watch him,
mm-hmm.
Follow him. He's going into the other side.
Right.
I got four. So I have three girls. And then a boy.
Yeah, you know, my old partner, Dr. Drew, had triplets, and he says, when you're outnumbered, that's when you're screwed.
Exactly, because three is, I got this one, you got that one, and a free agent.
Right.
Someone's approaching the edge of the radar screen with four. My son has no verbal skills whatsoever. He can't use his thumbs. He is monkey boy. He follows a trail of cookies just from place to place. Yeah. Cookie trail, monkey boy. More cookies. I don't have the time. So
four. And how far apart are all the kids?
They're age-wise. I have three teenage daughters.
Oh, boy.
And wow.
Three teenage daughters, 18, 16, 14. My house looks like Clay Aiken exploded in it. All right?
Right.
I live in Malibu Barbie's dream house. My son is 9. We huddle in a corner covered in steer blood chanting. I protect him from the estrogen cloud.
They will, they'll go through a stage, teenage girls go through a stage where they hate their parents. It's somewhere between about 15, 16, 17. Either they're humiliated by them or it's just out and out hatred. I hate you, Dad. Get away. And you're telling them who to go out with and who not to go out
with
and to get off the MySpace and all that crap. Oh. Oh, three teenage daughters. Oh.
I have three girls and then a boy, but I'll tell you what, I'm raising him as a girl because I'm not buying all new stuff.
Smart.
I don't care.
True.
You'll wear the pink jumper and you'll like it, buddy. Pink is a macho
Christ,
color.
I'm gay.
It's not a skirt, that's a kilt. Put your kilt on.
I'm doing that with my twins, too. We got a boy and a girl, and I'm just going to tell my wife, we got to pick a side. Flip a coin, however you want to do it. I'll be watching TiVo. Tell me when you've decided. But we're either going to have two boys or two girls.
Maxi pads, those things are knee pads. Now stick them back on and get back on the soccer field, mister. I don't care what they say.
That's right.
It's good sports equipment.
super absorbent shin guards back in your socks and hit the field.
But do we have time for some?
Well, we do.
All right.
After this.
All right.
We'll take a quick break.
All right.
And then we'll hear a song.
Oh, cool.
Right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. This is what a year and a half of junior college sounds like.
Hi, this is Jesse Jane, and every time I get invited to come to the Adam Carolla Show, I end up taking off my clothes. I mean, I have opinions on stuff.
AdamCarolla.com. It's so much better than internet porn. The Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Deaf Fat Guy. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
I feel horrible because now we're out of time and I wanted to hear a Tom Wilson song. I promise we'll bring you back soon if you'll come back and hear the song. Which
I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me.
Sorry, Tom. Tom Wilson, you can catch him doing stand-up at the Improv or the Comedy Store here in town and coming to a theater near you. Deaf Rat Guy, Christian, 13-year-old comedian. Mark Maron, Jeff Probst, Survivor tonight, 8 o'clock. And, of course, Tom Wilson. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.